Blog Talk Radio.
Fist up for the one that got away. When we left for dead, yeah, the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watch out for the man, pouring drugs in your land. Guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, COINTELPRO. Don't he open any letters, hit this with the COINTELPRO. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Been around waiting for the shit to change. Your point finger's not acting, just complain. Started didn't fight, just stripped the blame. Kids getting off a murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence need to be the only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck so they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Body kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Raised prison segregation in LA. Fed kids on the spoons with the hate. Chase the Panthers out the state. Whoa, one go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spare propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to spell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with him. CIA did everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, play whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, play whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
Things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know. Refuse to be held down anymore. Down anymore.
Co-host the Sheikh Al-Imam Akbar Abdullah Kareem. I am in the city of Washington, D.C., and we know that most of you are all bated breath tonight. Well, we had an emergency in Washington, but right now all systems go. So we're going to welcome you to Black Power Radio, and I mean, we have a show in store for you tonight. The hip-hop fraternity man and the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. So any of you that are wanting to speak and voice your opinion on hip-hop fraternity and the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, we would like you to press 1 at this time. There are many of you out there, and some of you don't have your hands up, and I know you got something to say tonight. But on this strength, we are here in Washington, D.C., and we are rocking coast to coast. We represent the East Coast at this time. My total, complete, full and complete and entire effort is to bring, to merge the East Coast to the West Coast. The unfortunate circumstances right in here in America, that the people in Africa out of the Southern, they seem to get it. They catch on. They understand comprehensively. They take order and instruction, roll out, and keep it moving. Somehow America has been made slow to recognize the promise of divine leadership, of divine promise, of divine fulfillment, and apparently afraid to carry out orders. The Spanish boys who say on the job, they're too many nervous when it comes to working on the issues of black people. I don't know what it is. I don't know specifically what has been done to us, but again, I will bear witness. There are so many things that have been done to us. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, all praises, all thanks and gratitude is due to Allah, the guardian, the evolver, the cherisher, and the sustainer of all of the worlds. We bear witness there is none deserving the rights of worship. There's none deserving the right to be conformed to except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High God. And we bear witness to all of the prophets that have been raised. This is a very high-end distinction. All the prophets that were raised from Adam, right, all the way up to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from Akhenaten all the way up to this hour. But I'd be totally remiss if I did not mention a bold, bald-headed black man, the most honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And these are all of our freedom fighters combined with Nat Turner, the Honorable Dr. Frederick Douglass, Gabriel Prosser, all of those great ones that came. Some even mentioned the rail system, and we know we had Philip Randolph. Some mentioned the heroes from the right in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. We had some Ralph Abernathy and some other good ones we had, some Joe Lowry and all that, and Andy Young and all of them. All of these people have streets named for them in the historical city, in the convention city itself of Atlanta, Georgia. We are slow to move across the country on giving us some flowers while we're living. But I think Atlanta seems to catch on to that pretty good. And they don't have no problem putting up a hero. Today they talk about Martin Luther King Jr. Tomorrow they got a street called Martin Luther King Jr. And next week they're talking about, why don't we think about naming this Ralph Abernathy? A month later, you see a big old sign going up all the way down the boulevard, Ralph Abernathy. I'm telling you, brother and sister, you have to acquire a quickness about moving on just certain issues. We left there, went to, in Washington, D.C., we had a street called Islamic Way. Rolled on over to Baltimore, got a street called Islamic Way. Rolled on down to Houston. Man, I got wicked with this. I saw David Street. We would write the whole, section of the city, write it all in Arabic language. Then the Chinese caught on. They started writing their stuff boldly in Chinese writing on the street. But you have to be willing, beloved, to take a certain amount of your freedom under your management. Now, you think something like a street sign or a postage stamp is something simple. But I'm telling you, we had to jump through goddamn hoops of fire to get a Patricia Harris postage stamp. A Malcolm X or a Martin Luther King postage stamp did not levitate from the heavens, beloved. That was work. Somebody black went to work on this cracker's behind and shook him until we got us a Martin Luther King stamp. Stevie Wonder, blind as a bat, shook these crackers until he got, most people don't even have an idea of how we got Martin Luther King Day. And I'm not just exaggerating to you, but really, actually, it was Stevie Wonder solo. Ronald Reagan was the governor of California, and Stevie Wonder would come to Washington every year and say, man, we need a holiday. I mean, just before he did that, now, he went on into him some South Africa. Stevie Wonder was banned in South Africa. He's a living freedom fighter, a living man that will push his own legacy. But they banned the music of Stevie Wonder in certain parts of South Africa. You know, they had rolling that apartheid, so you couldn't play, you know, Stevie Wonder. The Africans there couldn't just pop up them some happy birthday to you, or pieces come to Zimbabwe and Molly's hot on the box, and tonight there'll be a party on the corner at the end of the block. Oh, they had to cut that off. He says, that Stevie on that box? The crackers that were enforcing apartheid in South Africa, they just said, we're going to put a sign up, call it Rhodesia. We're going to pass us some geographical locations and call this Rhodesia. And the Honorable Robert Mugabe and other right-thinking people said, no, we're going to hold the line and we're going to call this Zimbabwe. You have to hold the line for yourself, brother and sister, and stand up wherever you are and fight for freedom and take that freedom and manage it in and by and with your own hands. You have to get accustomed to taking government, to taking charge and leadership and all Black Panther property that's in view. And if you're not large in charge, you might want to seriously consider the fact that we're getting large in charge around through here, up and down some D.C., DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, up and down some New York to Atlanta, from Atlanta crisscross to Memphis. Watch those Panthers be on the move, all up into Chicago and rolling on into them some Minneapolis, huh? We were large in charge. When Minneapolis rolled up, they didn't have ordinary National Guard. They had the National Guards that you go to crush you some Desert Storm-type moves and war tactical units of Desert Storm to crush the rioters when black people were just buck wild in Minneapolis. When they killed George Floyd, I was right there on the ground, and I'm standing here telling you with the black and the brown, and we had to shake the opposition. We were out not one night, not two nights, but every night in the streets of Minneapolis, Minnesota, on my mind. And most of us won't even cross the street talking about going to Minneapolis. I don't know what it is that a lawsuit counter at the islands is. Now, why is it that when we give the command to go forth, and it says that fighting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those who came before your time. Fighting has been prescribed for you, even though you dislike it. It is perhaps you dislike a thing that is good to you and good for you, and you love some things that are bad for you. Fighting has been prescribed for you, you know, as it was prescribed for you, for those who came before your time, to see how will we conduct ourselves under adversity, and how do we conduct ourselves when we got the wealth in our hands. Almighty God of the worlds that originated heavens and the earth, he promised you that you will have adversity, and he promised you that the wealth would be in your head, in your hands at some point. Now, how are you going to conduct yourself? And I see y'all lit up with Coast to Coast. With that said, man, we want to welcome our host for the evening from the west side, coming all the way from Los Angeles, California. We're rolling up in here, so let's see if they're rolling up in there. We want to welcome our host for the evening, our beloved sister and host from that west side. We're bringing Dr. Mella Desire. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power. Black Power?
Black Power, power to the people.
Black Power.
All right,
black
happy new year.
Power to the
we have
right,
a lot to unpack today.
And season greetings to you, Black Power.
Yes, Imam. Season greetings. Thank you so much for jumping on board. I appreciate the opening statement, and we definitely got a lot to unpack today. So we have Black Family. Our special guest that came last week, the hip-hop fraternity, Ken Ivey, who we spoke about his bio, his humble beginnings at 4759 South Federal in a side style of Chicago, to where he is right now, a top literary agent, motivator, pusher, mentor extraordinaire. So we are so grateful to have him on board with the hip-hop fraternity. And what we are planning on doing is to launch a hip-hop academy specializing and focusing on our youth, music, crypto, meta, you name it, Ken's got it. So later on the show, we will speak to him directly on a specific topic concerning laws, mass incarceration, the rights of us in the prison system. Now, this is something that has not been thoroughly discussed, mainly because music is what actually drives that force in promoting crime, promoting drugs, anything that will ease the way for these prison stocks. But we want to have a small resolution concerning these mass incarceration laws. Now, why are we discussing prison and mass incarceration? Well, the obvious reason, it is one of the major focal points of the destruction of the Black man and the Black woman. So therefore, we must understand how this system uses incarceration to keep us down. And if you don't know your rights, now is the time to know them. So without further ado, let's go into the history of Core Civics. What is Core Civics? The GO Group, and Planter. Why is it so important to know these stocks? Now, for once, Core Civics, just a history of what Core Civics is, it actually was called the Corrections Corporations of America, CCA. And this was discovered, I believe, in 1983. Co-founders, Robert Krantz, Thomas Beasley, and T. Don Hutto. T. Don Hutto. So these three Caucasians decided to come together in 1983 and put the Corrections Corporations of America on the stock market. And there you have it. Mass incarceration has now become one of the major focal points in oppressing the Black man. So how can we get around that? That's something that we would like to hear from Ken Ivey himself. So without further ado, I want to thank you for coming on the Sunday Sister Show. And my co-host, Queen Na, if she's on the line, I'd like you to connect 818-223, Shaky Mom,
okay.
818-223, Queen Na.
Janae and 818 should be live with you. Let me see if we can press it up. Number one, we have to ask them to please press one. Everybody that's speaking, as we made the announcement earlier, but as we make it again, to please press 1 so you'll be in the host queue, because we've got to search that line for you. Okay, at least we found Janae. Janae is there. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power, you there?
All right.
Is that me?
I'm here,
okay.
Black Power.
Okay, Brother Ken.
I walked
brother,
away from
there,
my phone.
Power. Brother,
yes,
you
Black Power,
brother
Black Power.
Ken Ivy. Assalamu alaikum.
Can you hear me?
We press 1. Let me get
okay.
A file. One more. We're looking for the 818818. You're live. Just please press 1. Are you there? Black Power at 818-818-223. You're live. Let's see if we can get her up at the top of the queue. And here she comes. Black Power. All of you are live. Black Power.
Black Power. All right. This is our non-political Department of Education. This is Queen Na. Welcome, Queen Na. Thank you for coming on board.
Assalamu alaikum, my sister. Thank you for having me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right. So we're talking a little bit more about local issues. Without further ado, here's the Jade Ash Spin.
Hop on in, buddies. The Jade Ash Spin, where we discuss urban issues pressing America. Data, action, facts, truth, with a little bit of justice, wrapped in a warm, fuzzy hug. And I'm your host, DJ Fat, the bunny with the jazz man. On extra time today, because injustice stinks to high heaven, my friends. What's going on, America? The J-Man Spin. So, with that, let's bring in Michael Berry, General Counsel for First Liberty Institute, which filed a lawsuit on behalf of these service members. He's also an Afghanistan war veteran and a member of the Marine Corps Reserve, who is asking for a religious exemption to the...
Okay, so that's our vaccine story. So first we want to talk about mass incarceration. Why is it important for us to know how our brothers keep getting locked up? So let's start off with, here's the history, mass incarceration and how it is affected in the U.S.
Yeah, because it is messed up. Now, Pride is also messed up. Bad things happen to good people, and that's terrible, and something should be done about it. But we send people to prison to be punished, to prevent them from doing bad things again, and to deter others from breaking the law. Punishment, correction, and deterrence. Now, we have this habit of thinking of prisoners as something very external to society. After all, there are literal walls between them and society. Walls packed with razor wire and watched over by people with guns. But millions of prisoners are released each year. Today's prisoners are tomorrow's neighbors. So correction should probably be the most important piece of the incarceration pie. Unfortunately, it is not. We are, however, really good at punishment. America has about 4% of the world's people and about 25% of the world's incarcerated people. We have the highest incarceration rate in the world. Over the last 30 years, that number has skyrocketed, increasing over 400%. 41% of American juveniles and young adults have been arrested by the time they turn 23. Children as young as 13 years old have been sentenced to die in prison. And our prisons violate international standards. Solitary confinement increases instability and violence in inmates and is considered by international law to be torture. But in America, it is not regulated by anyone except the prison officials. No judge, no jury. Arguably the most devastating form of punishment we enact in this country, and yet there is no appeals process. And you think it's hard to get a job in America? Well, we make it intentionally more difficult to get a job once you have a conviction on your record, not to mention just with your life. Convicts are ineligible for welfare, student loans, public housing, food stamps, and are often socially disconnected from community and family support structures. So in addition to having high recidivism rates, they have very high rates of homelessness and suicide. Somewhere along the way, we started to think that being tough on crime meant being tough on criminals, but that's not the same thing. Punishment is only one piece of a much larger crime reduction pie, and it's an expensive one, with some institutions paying more than $100,000 per year per prisoner. Long prison sentences have helped to decrease crime, but no more than 25% of the decrease we've seen can be attributed to incarceration, and it costs far beyond just dollars. The cost is to people, to our country, to communities, to families, and to ourselves. The policy seems to be if you've committed a felony, we just give up on you. These wars on crime, wars on drugs, they are wars on people. The smart political move is to appear tough on crime because crime is scary. So we increased minimum sentences, we arrested more people, we sent more of them to prison. That's how we looked tough on crime. But the results are 80s bad policy. It's cruel, it's short-sighted, and to continue this policy of mass incarceration would be foolish. We're living inside of a massive $75 billion per year failed experiment. 2010 was the first year in nearly 40 years that the number of incarcerated individuals in America did not increase. Policymakers are beginning to realize the magnitude of this failure, but there is a long way to go.
I say we have a long way to go. So, Mr. Ken Ivey from the Hip Hop Fraternity, are you there?
How y'all doing?
All right. Yay. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate you.
Doing great, great, fantastic. And yourself? By power.
Well, I'm doing well.
By power.
I mean, it's just an interesting topic that we're talking about today. But, you know, just to give a little background on, you know, slavery, and because slavery would be the embryo of all of this. When you go back to the 1400s, around 1455, when the Pope ordained or did a public edict to agree that Africans can be enslaved, because one of the crusaders, the Portuguese crusaders, gave the Pope a slave, about five slaves, and that's when the Pope pretty much said that slavery was it was okay to enslave African Americans or not African American, African people, and then mm-hmm. we began to see kind of more it become more prevalent around the 1600s, and then you begin to see it, you know, wholesale when you had the transatlantic slave trade. So once we get to America, you know, it was basically forced slavery. You know, we was brought over here against our will, and they definitely, everybody knows the story. I don't want to get too in-depth about slavery, but when you get around about 1860, America encountered a problem. The Northerners found out that the Southerners were making more money. So Abraham Lincoln, you know, he told his general to go down there and straighten the situation out in the South. We know that story, too, the Civil War. And
right.
And they had to get Africans, you know, descendants of Africans to help them fight the war, because that was the only way they were able to win the war. But around about 1860, you had a situation where Africans, descendants of Africans, was also incarcerated. I think they comprised about 15% of the incarceration rate at that time, you know, and that mm-hmm. was in the 1860s. Around 1865, something came out called Emancipation Proclamation. And during this period of time, no, they allegedly freed the slaves. But once they freed the slaves in 1886, they came out with Black Code. They came out what you call the 13th and 14th Amendment. And the 13th Amendment is more important than all the other two. It's more important than the other two, which it says the slave is bothers himself when one duty commits a crime. So we know that the only way that the Southerners or the Confederates can re-enslave to, you know, come up with all these type of trumped up charges. They criminalized everything. If you looked at a white man too hard, you would be criminalized. If you walked across the street and you didn't acknowledge a white person, you'd be criminalized. So at that point,
right.
we began to see slavery reinstituted on a whole nother level. Now let's speed it up to around 1983, when you got the CCC, Correctional Corporation of America. At that same time, we began to see that some of those congressmen and senators came up with this great idea. Hey, you know, it's a law called the 13th Amendment. It gives us the right to incarcerate, you know, people in wholesale numbers. Now, at this time, you had about 240,000 people incarcerated in America around 1983. Today, you got 2.5 million people, or 2.3, depending on what, you know, statistics you look, incarcerated. So at that time, you got to remember, there were some important things happened around 84, 85, and 86. One of the most important things happened was New Jack City, Color,
right.
Boys in the Hood, and Scarface. Now, mm-hmm. at the same time that these movies came out, because that's what Hollywood do, they glorify it, then they criminalize it. You know,
right.
the Congress all over working cahoots. Now, I don't want to get into no name calling, but y'all know, y'all already know who the people is that's doing it. So the Boys in the Hood, yeah, Boys in the Hood, that made people from Little Rock, Arkansas, people from Minnesota and Iowa, you know, typically were what we would call in the streets squares. They were just square, yeah, working class people, you know, basically just square. But it made them, it gave them, introduced them to crime. And then colors introduced them to gang banging. That's why you had gang banging in Little Rock. Before colors, you never seen gang banging in Little Rock. Now, all of this is a part of the divine scheme of things. Now, at the same time that they was banging in Little Rock and they was doing carjacking because they watching Menace to Society and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? They was making laws. And these laws were called the sentence enhancement laws, which means that the criminals had to do 85% of their time. They was doing the gun laws, the trigger lock laws, the Rockefeller laws, the crack laws. All these things were being constructed as these guys were, you know, committing their crimes. And then they came up with another thing called crack cocaine. Now, crack cocaine, like most drugs, are insurgency drugs. You know, basically, they keep counterinsurgency drugs to keep us from wilding out. That's what heroin did. Heroin kept, you know, Huey Newton and all them brothers from tripping. You know, you can't fight a revolution if you got a needle on your arm. And they did that very strategically. But at the same time, not only did they do that, they also introduced us to a lot of these movies that made brothers, you know, want to get the plug. The plug was the Cubans. At the same time, they had a Mario boat Cuban left, Mario Cuban boat left, and the Cubans came in. The Colombians gave all the drugs to the criminals that was that Castro, you know, just dumped into our societies in Miami. Then they dispersed all over the country. All of us know what happened. And all those Cubans was the plug. They was the plug. They were the guinea pigs, and they was pushing drugs into our community. At the same time, they was doing the drug laws. They was doing the gun laws because they know if you get drugs, you need
you
guns.
You have 1 minute left.
If you get bootleg, the Italians had bootlegs in the 1920s, but they had to
beloved
protect their bootlegs. Good. So they already had the model.
Beloved,
they did it with the Italians. Can you hear me?
Brother, I want to do something right at this moment that's vitally important to the show. We have our brother Abdullah from behind the wall, only has 1 minute. If he can give 1 minute in the middle of your monologue, that would be a great and a blessing for everybody here. Assalamu alaikum and black power to Abdullah. Black power.
Black power.
Brother, what you're saying is the truth. I like what you're saying. I'm getting knowledge of it, and I like what you're saying, man. It's the truth what they're doing. And I witnessed that right now as I'm speaking to you again. So black power to everybody out there. Assalamu alaikum.
Black power. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
Brother Abdullah will be on the ground. I'm going to call it from all I've been through with Abdullah. Momentarily, you will be seeing Brother Abdullah on the ground. Assalamu alaikum and black power.
And black power. Black power. Yes, if you can continue with the history of mass incarceration.
So meanwhile, back at the ranch, This is basically what happened. You know, when you look at the Italians and you look at Al Capone and Lucky Luciano, they went through the same situation. So America already had a case study that what you do when you put drugs, when you put illegal substance into a community, what it does to the community. We see how the Italians themselves and they killed themselves. They all became gangsters. Well, we did the same thing. But they gave us a little help. After they gave us Scarface and they let us know that the Cubans was the plug, then they gave us New Jack City, and you know what Nino Brown did. Not only was he a snitch, but he also put drugs in the Carter Project. And then we started seeing crack. That's the first time we started seeing crack in our community. The next day, you know, we see crack being dispersed all over the world. Now, the thing, the crack versus the heroin did not create the same motivation in the criminal that crack did. See, heroin slowed us down. But what crack did, crack kind of like freeze the brain. And then when you get the brain freeze, by 10 minutes, it go away. So you got to keep getting that same freeze. So it made people go crazy. And people start robbing each other, and they start, you know, people start being, I mean, people that were lawyers and doctors and squares, I mean, people that actually had good jobs, they couldn't handle that drug. The minute they tried it, then people it was such addictive drugs that husbands stopped putting their wives and wives stopped putting their husband on it. And next thing we know, we started seeing the crack laws. We started seeing the CCA Correctional Corporation making billions of dollars. You started seeing these people that invested in prison stocks. We started seeing them make millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. You see Clinton, you know, who was being lobbied by these people. You start seeing Clinton passing all type of laws, you know, but, you know, the crime bill of 1994. We got Bush, all of these people, Nancy Reagan just saying no to drugs, and this is how we get mass incarceration, because they realized in 1983 that it was a clause, just like in any other thing they find out, it was a clause that if we use this thing, we can enslave people and we can actually form Unicorps, which I was in prison, so I seen Unicorp personally where they pay prisoners $1 an hour. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So for 8 hours, you get $8. Yeah. And I seen other prisoners build license plates and build beds and all this stuff. And now, I don't even know if y'all know this, in certain prisons, they got call centers. So sometimes you call AT&T or you call one of these major corporations and somebody pick up the phone and, you know, they sound all professional. Yes, those are people who are incarcerated, and they're getting about 15 to 20 cents an hour, but they're just so happy to talk to somebody on the phone, they're now looking at the slave labor. So what happened was, you know, it started off in 1886 as a means to try to get, you know, the so-called slaves back onto the plantations and continue to work the crops and to work the cotton fields, and then it proceeded, you know, on until, you know, things kind of start changing. Of course, you know, we had a few things that changed. You know, we had Jim Crowism. We had Brown versus Board of Education, 1904. We had segregation, all these different, you know, we had the Civil Rights Bill. But then it became more apparent to them that they could make money around 1983. And that's when they formed these prison stock companies, these corporations that deal with mass incarceration. Now it became a thing where it's not just to stop crime and stop violent crime. It became a thing that any nigga that you can catch on the street, black men became valuable commodities. They just start snatching us like body snatchers. And some of the white supremacists, they got something out of it too, because, you know, it's a form of, you know, birth control. You know what I mean? You can kind of, you know, keep the population down. And, you know, and it's amazing that African Americans, you know, that's eligible for crime only comprise 6% of the population, but yet they are 50% or 51% of the prison population. That means that ain't include uncles, mamas, grandparents, and none of that. This is just young African American men. Out of 6%, we 13% of the population, but out of 13% of that percentage of 13%, 6% of us are eligible. That's probably men from anywhere from 16 to probably about 45 to 55. And you tell me America is only 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's incarceration, and out of 25% of the world's incarceration, you got 50% of the African Americans incarcerated right now, and it's only because it's a profit. That's what the mass incarceration is all about. It's all about money, and they use the 13th Amendment, and they use these crack laws and these archaic laws in order to institute and put our young brothers and sisters in prison. I'm telling you, that's in a nutshell. It's all about money.
Right.
I don't care what nobody say. It's about the money. If you think I'm lying, follow the money, and just go look at the New York Stock Exchange and see the profits for those prison stocks is like 1,300%.
Right. Actually, we just looked at the stock exchange right now specifically, which is why we're focusing on CoreCivic, which is their new name for CCA. And if you look, family, I want you to log on to CoreCivic.com. And when you look at it, it looks like a prison reform program that is helping the incarcerated become productive citizens. This is what they're portraying. Hey, so,
Dr. Mello, can I say something?
Absolutely.
Okay. I want everybody on the phone to watch The Hook.
Okay.
Right now, it's a campaign to kind of like in the bail system. You know, they want to give everybody monitors. You know what I'm saying? You know what a monitor is? Like a home monitor when you got the, you know, report.
Like
and, you know,
an
you get
bracelet?
An ankle bracelet. Okay, so check this out. if you listen to them, you got to listen to them very carefully. They say, okay, well, it is a problem with mass incarceration. You got Biden talking about mass incarceration. You got Obama. They didn't change. Even, you know, Trump did something about mass incarceration. Those same people, they didn't took their money out of the prison system. And now you see, you all you got to do is walk through the mall. You see hundreds and thousands of young men with ankle braces. And those ankle braces, they do the same thing that those prison cells do. They make money. That's just the new way of them getting money. So if they change the name, that's all it means. They change the game.
Wow. That's deep. So that means that they're really trying to hide who they really are in different ways, but ultimately it's still slave labor as we speak. So if you go to CoreCivic.com, you will see some of the programs that they have here, CoreCivic Safety, CoreCivic Community, and they have black faces all over this as if it's a workforce program. Very sad. And ultimately, looking at the stock exchange, it finished at 0.11, 100%. So these stocks are not going down anytime soon. And so for us to know that this is a driving force, and it's so shocking to hear that some of the customer service agents may be actual prisoners, you know, 15, 20 cents an hour. That makes my heart sad. Makes my heart sad. So I wanted to hear from Queen Knight, Queen Na, if you have any families that were affected by incarceration currently, what is it that we do can in order for us to arm ourselves or prevent us from becoming subjects of this mass incarceration? What steps do we take? And then we're going to tackle the subject of the Dred Scott case and the significance of that.
Doc, it's simple. You know, in life you got three levels. You know, either you got gainful employment, that means that you employ you own your own business, or you got welfare. We know that Tommy, the governor from Wisconsin, I forget his name, it's been so many years, he cut welfare out, and the next level is crime. So if you don't have welfare, if you don't have a job, you're going to automatically become a criminal. And everything is criminalized, over 5,000 statutes, 5,000 federal statutes. And I don't know if your audience knows, but if any one of you guys go to Walmart and you next to my bins and you open that door and you hit that bins and you put a dent in that bins, that's called, and you don't report that, it's called fleeing the scene of a crime. That is a felony. That's how technical and that's how, you know, slick that this thing is now. So the first thing we got to do is we got to figure out, how do we become gainfully employed? How do we get a job? If we can get a job, we can bypass welfare and we can bypass crime. You know, I don't know too many brothers that don't have a job or is not receiving welfare that's not involved in selling drugs or finessing or doing scams, as they call it nowadays. So that's the first thing we got to do, is which we talked about the other day, is we got to figure out how to show these brothers how to fix their credit. I do that.
Right.
You know, I fix their credits all the time. Once we teach them how to fix their credit, then we got to teach them about financial literacy. We got to tell them that your gold chain and your car is not your wealth. That's what makes people wealthy. But, you know, what you drive is not your wealth. But what you save and what you invest is what creates wealth. And then we got to teach them about delayed gratification. You know, we got to get them out of their microwave mentality, because all of them want to get quick money. And even if you got a good job and you see your homeboy getting these thousands, you're going to want to get some of that microwave money too. And you know what happened in the microwave, you know.
That's
so,
right.
You know, cook fast and it dissolve fast. So we got to teach them about delayed gratification. We got to teach them how to invest and invest 10 steps ahead, just like playing chess. They got to invest with expecting the outcome 10 steps ahead. So that's the first step is money. The second step is education, you know, and then the third step is politics. You know what I'm saying? If you got money, you can buy the politicians. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
We can pick the people who we want. We can go and we can buy who we want. If we put enough money in a certain politician and we practice group economics, group politics, we vote in one voting block, then we can also change the narrative. So we got to have, and that's going to take education, money, education, then politics. You know, I'm not saying join no political party, but if we all Black Panthers, Black Power, we all practicing Black Power, then we should also have a Black vote as well. You know, it don't mean that I've stopped being a Moorish American brother, email, stop being a Muslim, or you stop being whatever you is or whatever this person is, that is, it just means that we got to move in one accord. Because one thing these people understand is numbers. It's a numbers game. You know, if you notice Joe Biden, some people call him Uncle Joe. You know, Uncle Joe, when they never got in, if that brother that we was talking about the other day from South Carolina, that congressman, if he wouldn't have went in there and he wouldn't have galvanized some people to help Joe get voted in, that changed the whole trajectory of the race. So we do have power, but we don't know how to use it because we got this crab in the bucket mentality. But what I always tell African Americans, I don't know why you got a crab in the bucket mentality, because crabs don't belong in the bucket. Why don't you have a crab in the ocean mentality? You'll never see crabs in the ocean tripping, trying to pull the other crab from getting on the shore. So we got to have that crab in the ocean mentality. Once we change that mentality, we realize that we are one people, and we create that 360 mentality, because with the circle, the reason why a circle is because don't nothing get out. It just go on. But a line goes straight through, and a line ends. A circle never ends. A circle is eternity. And that's what we got to do. We got to get that circle. Then we get into eternity. We get into the essence. You know, we get knowledge of self. We become self-conscious. We know who our ancient forefathers are. And we practice all these other great things that the email and you talk about, you know, as far as group economics, group politics. That's how we're going to end the mass incarceration. But we first of all have to get money, because money is the reason why they're incarcerated. Now, I know my mama now say money ain't everything. And I always say, Mama, well, what thing money is not? She say money can't buy you love. She said money can't buy you love. But, you know, we understand that without no love, there's without no finance, there's no romance. And then as my good friend always say, that if you give me all the money that I can get, you know what I'm saying, even if money don't get me to heaven, give me all I can get, and I go as far as I go. And then once I get as far as I go, I get out, and I'll walk the rest of the way to heaven. And so that's what we got to do. You know, that's what they taught us about the pie in the sky, that, you know, money is an evil thing and all this stuff. But yet, you know, you can't even brush your teeth without money. You can't even wipe your behind without money. So we definitely need to figure out how to, you know, get these young brothers properly employed and how to get them their own business.
Now, what would you suggest would be the ultimate goal for job improvement for our brothers who are currently incarcerated, like right now? I know Brother Abdullah is being released, but for many of them who fall through the cracks and end up spending 50, 60 years for a 10-year sentence, or even being charged for years for a crime they did not commit.
Well, you know, charity starts at home and then it spreads abroad. First of all, we got to get our house together before we can get them to come in a home together. So once we get together and all of us start, you know, and creating businesses and we start investing, and then that's the result. When you got businesses, you need employees. You know what I'm saying? So when they come home, as employers, we will employ them, and we ain't going to look at their criminal record. We're going to give them the benefit of a doubt. You know, we ain't gonna do a background check on them. And that's how they lose. How can you win if they say as soon as you come home, if you got a criminal record, you know, recidivism rate is almost guaranteed if you need to have a good record. Who has a good record after they come out of prison? You know, you automatically are stereotypical, and you know, you're stereotyped. So you can't get a good job if you got a criminal record. Let me do what most young men are doing. You start your own business, start your little trucking company. That's one of the things that we need to do too, email and Dr. Mello. We need to start teaching these brothers about getting a CDL, you know, because I own a trucking company called the Hip Hop Fraternity Trucking. And it's an app, you know, this app, I think it's called DAT, the DAT app. All you do is go on there and you say, I want to go and visit Brother Email in D.C. And they say, well, a load coming from Atlanta is worth $3,000. And then I say, I want to go see Dr. Mello, excuse me, in L.A., then it's a load, it's $7,000. And, you know, that doesn't determine a criminal record. So that's another thing that a lot of these people could do, is we help them get their CDLs. We can start a truck training company. You know what I'm saying? That's the way to raise money. Then as they make that money, we can ask them to put a certain amount of money into a foundation, with that foundation being used to get more trucks and to get more businesses. So it's a multiple ways of us raising finances. It's very simple. it's easy. 1 + 1 = 2. You know what I mean? It's just basic mathematics. You know, so it's not rocket science. It's just that we got to show them something that's more appealing than selling drugs, because most young men, once they do get in, caught up in the drug game, selling drugs is just as addictive as using drugs. I used to sell drugs, so I know the money is very addictive. So you know what I'm saying? You don't want to sell drugs because you're gonna get just addicted. You're gonna be just as addicted as an addict. So you know that's another thing. And then another thing, you know, we just got to figure out, you know, that, you know, if we can make these guys realize that you're going to make just as much money in the trucking business, you're going to still be able to get that little cutie pie at the club. Because, see, that's what they're looking for. They're chasing them women, them pretty women, and these guys that got the drugs, they got the cars with the 28. So if they got a good job and they got good credit, mm-hmm. they can look just as appealing as these drug dealers and these hustlers in the streets and these pimps and all these other people. We got to show them another way. Because most of them homes that you see in the suburbs out there in Maryland, guess what? Those people do not own those homes. They just got good credit. Credit
right.
for being able to pay your bills on time. So
that's very true.
No way that all those people out there in Maryland and all in Georgetown and all them beautiful homes is millionaires. It's just not – that ain't what's happening. It's just they get those homes for the same price that you're paying in the ghetto, you know, but the same thing. But they because of good credit, they give them a low interest rate, and it gives them a low mortgage. So these are just simple things that we can teach each other, you know, that we don't even understand. You know, just basic. And I know this stuff. I live it every day. It's so basic. If y'all just knew how easy it is to live, we'd all be doing it. Everybody on this phone, you know, especially all you educated brothers and sisters, y'all should be living very comfortable. There's no way you should be in debt. And I don't care how bad your credit is. It can be fixed. It can simply be fixed. All you got to do. And I, you know, I got a credit company. I tell y'all how to do it. I tell y'all for free how to do it. But it's very simple, you know. And then once you get your credit right, credit just means being able to pay your bills on time. So basically, with Dr. Miller, if you gave me $1,000, right, if I gave you the $1,000 back tomorrow, the credit bureau would say I'm not a good creditor because I paid the money back too quick. But if I gave you $60 for 20 months, then that means that that shows my ability to pay my bills on time. Everybody is paying mm-hmm. their mortgage. Everybody's paying their car note with cash. That's the wrong thing to do. What you do is you use your 30% credit ratio, and you use whatever is your rent, $1,000. You put $3,000 in the bank, and you pay that $1,000. The other $2,000 is in the CD deposit account. That's a part of your savings. So you use that $1,000 to pay your bill. You use 30%. And you don't go over 30%, because if you use over 30%, they think you're living off your credit. Credit's supposed to accessorize your life. That's the purpose of credit. But when you go over, and if you don't use no credit, you still got bad credit. You know, it's a certain thing called installment credit. It's new credit. It's just basic things. It's things called security accounts. You know, you can get a security deposit account. You can get you can get a self account where you go and you get a bank $1,000 and give it back to you that same day, and you pay yourself off with six months, and it's all help. It's things called trademarks. You know, we call it piggybacking in the game. You know, and all this stuff can have you living. You know, I can go get anything I want, Rolls Royce, anything, by basically signing my name because I pay my bills on time. It don't make a difference if your bill's only $200. If that credit bureau sees, you know, and them algorithms, they see that you're paying your bills, they're going to give you an 800 credit score. With an 800 credit score, you go in the Navy Federal Bank. This is criminal. I'm an ex-convict, so you know I ain't lying. You know what I'm saying? I live real well. I've been to jail plenty of times. I ain't been in 35 years, but when I was a kid, I was in and out of jail. If I can get good credit, that means that they're not discriminating. That's the only place they don't discriminate at, because they tell those crawlers and those things, they can't tell if you're black, white, fat, or skinny. All they know is that you're 800 credit score. If you're 800 credit score, they got to – I don't care who it is, it's the mortgage people, they got to respect those credit scores. And that's the game, y'all. Listen, y'all
right
talking
on.
To a person that really know the game, you know what I mean, that made millions and millions of dollars. That's the game. If y'all want to know the game, this is what you teach them brothers coming out of jail. Them truckies, it's easy for them to get in because they don't need to. It's not a criminal background check for the CDL. So that's something that they can do. Then you got to merge that money. Then we invested into farmland. Then we start growing our own food. And then we start buying more land. You know, I got 160 acres down in Oxford, Mississippi. You know, you buy more and more land, and then you get 120 acres. That's a city. It's just simple stuff mm-hmm. that, you know, I mean, all these people that's educated, they baffle me that how can you be so educated and not understand these basic, simple things? It's just simple, man.
It's not that they don't understand the basic, simple things. How you guys doing? I'm Queen Naya, a.k.a. Nyshea the Truth. So it's not that they don't understand these basic things. It's just that they've been brainwashed. There's so many people that don't understand credit because as adolescents, we weren't taught credit. There's so many of us that doesn't understand how to manipulate the system and how to utilize the system in order to better our lives and our children's lives. Why is that? Because we've all been under this false pretend like spell or something of that nature, like that's telling us, hey, you know what? You guys are not good enough. You guys will never be this. You guys will never be that. So that's why you have so many black people. Black people made so much money this year. I'm talking about the hoodies of the hoodies of the hoodies people made over $500,000. I know one young lady made over $500 with this whole crimes and schemes and all this stuff, right? But let me tell you, did any of those black people take off the chains off their neck or the Mercedes and say, you know what, let's create communities. Let's pour into the Black Panthers. So we're under, first teach our youth is that, hey, you guys are kings and queens in the making. If they don't understand because it's been beaten out of us who we are, then how are we going to make a change in society? How are we going to come together? Because I swear to you guys, I'm telling you, I live in California, in West Hills, California, but I'm from the hood of Inglewood. And when I tell you I've never seen so many black people in my life that are uneducated with so much money, but everybody was about, oh, I got $100,000 worth of jewelry. But where are we investing in our children at? Did you put any money towards your credit? We first have to start teaching our people that we are important. We are the people that the word speaks about in the Bible. Once we can get that in our head, then everyone will start listening to brothers like you that's been through it, that sold drugs, that's been to jail, that knows about credit, that knows how to build up. People will start listening. But until we get out of that mentality of saying, hey, as long as I live like this, I got this, and it's me, huh, I'm doing okay. No, we have to teach each other. We are kings and queens. We are the people that the Lord speaks of in the Bible. We are a part of the 12 tribes that are missing. Once we get that, then everything else is going to fall in line. But if we're just teaching them about credit, it's going to be me, and I don't know about you. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, Queen,
I'm saying right now,
Queen,
we got
to
go with
it. Can I respond to Queen?
Right.
Can I respond
to
Queen? Queen, I just want to say that I have accepted your challenge. I am the CEO of Hip Hop Fraternity. I have over 2,000 members. Dr. Mello is also chapter owners. So that's what we teach these people every day. We teach them about cryptology. We teach them about credit. We teach them about NFTs, NFCs, near field communication. We teach them about ASCAP, BMI. EPKs, copyrights, and all that.
Yes.
And we teach them about autonomy. So my main enemy in the industry is the major companies. They hate me right now because they never seen an organization grow as fast as mine. I have Ice-T on my board, Maybach Music on my board.
Wow.
Boosie is also a member of my organization. I'm also a literary agent, so I'm signing these young men too. I just signed Boosie to a book deal. I signed
blessings.
Corey Wise. So, you know, me being an ex-convict and an ex-street person, you know, from the pimping to the gangster, you know, I can shout them up and bang them out. You know, I'm from Chicago. I did it all. It's easier for me to acclimate stuff to these young people. It's easy for me to get in these streets and pull
Come
them
on.
In.
Right.
You know, I got the Crips. I got the
yes.
Bloods. I got the GDs. I got the Bicycles.
Yes.
The Black Panther. Brother Fred Hampton spoke in my organization, you know, the brother, one of the Cubs from Chicago, he spoke in my organization about 3 months ago. You know, I just talked to the brother. He's in Africa, or he may be back now. So, you know, we deal with all of these brothers, and the way I deal with them is simple. I deal with them on their level. All of them love hip-hop, so that's why I started the
exactly.
Hip-hop fraternity. They love music, so I pull them in with the music, and then once they come in with the music, you know, we give them the information. We give them the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding. So we are teaching them that, you know, I've got at least 10 brothers' trucks that's a part of my organization. I've fixed about 75 to 100 brothers' credit, you know what I'm saying, you know, credit. You know, so that's what we do, you know. So we got to go in on their level. You know, everybody said,
that's
hey, man, you can't save these kids. They said, man, especially in Atlanta, they said, these niggas is crazy. And what I said is, if we keep saying that we can't do it, whatever the mind believes to see, the mind can achieve. You got to, but if you say you can't do it, you can see it before you be it. Whatever's in your head, you got to put in your hand. And so I defy all of the old axioms and sayings that you can't, these niggas ain't going to listen to the young people, they ain't going to mess with us. All the young people, they come in my order, you know, and I got my vice president, my president, Dutch. Tell these people, little son, they on the phone. Just
about the hip-hop attorneys, man. Well, being an artist here in Atlanta, I've gone to many showcases. I've seen many organizations, and when you walk in, there's no organization. There's no list. There's no who's going first. It's just a bunch of unorganized chaos. With the hip-hop fraternity, when I stepped in, there was structure and organization. There was a group of professionals, right? So there were people that were of interest to my career. It wasn't just going to a performance. It wasn't just going to network. It was actually stepping into a room full of people that had, you know, the will to the connections that were needed to change my career. You know, just in the trajectory of the company. I mean, going from one location to seven locations. How many locations? Probably more than that. And then
eight
chapters. And then
we got 70% of our leadership is black women. So most of my president, my vice president, my directors are all women because, you know, I got like six daughters. So, you know, all my daughters, you know, they went to college and got master's degrees. Well, not master's degrees, but one of my oldest daughters got master's degree, Kenesha. So, you know, I'm teaching these young sisters, you know, that they got to step up, you know, that, you know, the first teacher is the mother. You know, the woman has been in the forefront in all of our struggles in slavery. If it wasn't for the woman, and I don't mean this negative, if it wasn't for her sleeping with that white master, we probably would have been dead, you know. And that's that's the worst thing you could do is give up your body, you know. So, I mean, it was the sister,
right.
You know, like even with a Democratic Party, they say that the black woman is the main thing in the Democratic Party. She's the center of the Democratic Party. So I believe that if we empower our women, we'll get rid of that king ambition. Because king ambition, most men believe that they should be king, so they got ambition to be the king. But women, you know, they have a different perspective. You know, some women, most women are more analytical than men, and they have better emotional quotient. They know how to control their emotion a little bit better. You know, I mean, every time I try to empower a brother, you know, they always challenge me, and they always want to fight. And I say, I got a saying that most men start at your feet and end up at your throat. And I'm going to let Dutch say something. I'm going to let y'all take the floor.
Yeah, no, just about women in general. I mean, it's a company that I've seen that women can prosper at, you know, and that's really big for me, not only to just say that I'm VP, but to actually take a second to hear what I'm saying and to take a second and to say, hey, my vice president or my president has something to say to you right now that, you know, that could change, you know, your perspective on something. So it's just great to be valued. It's great to be under a great leader, to learn from that leader. You know, the things that I've learned from Kim, I'm pretty sure you guys have learned something on this call.
Yes.
You know, so I'm
blessed.
A whole lot of life.
Yes.
That's correct. Yeah, I'm blessed to get that every day. So, yeah.
Right on.
Thank
can you
Kim.
Can you tell our audience, introduce yourself? This is the first time you're speaking Dutch.
Of course, yes. My name is Dutch. I am the vice president, soon to be president of the Hip Hop Fraternity.
Yay!
Yay.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
we're actually going to have you full interview on February show, so we are excited for that. But we thank you for joining us today. It's definitely
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
Yes, thank you, Ken. Appreciating it for, you know, seeing the value in us as black women. And I can't tell you how important it is in us to have our men recognize and protect and really stand up and give us a platform as we were created to do. So this means a lot.
Hey, well, I want to give a shout-out to Dr. Khalid Muhammad. I want to give a shout-out to Dr. Khalid Muhammad. And then if you read Malcolm X's book, The Autobiography of Malcolm X, he talks about the Big Six. You know, the shame about most of our African-American leadership, in particular our African-American males, most of them have sold out you know, to these establishments, and most of them, mm-hmm. you know, they form these 501c3s, and when you form a 501c3, you become government connected, and a lot of these guys don't know that when they get to streaming, you know, crazy and talking crazy, if they're being funded by these European organizations, all they have to do is pull the purse strings, and next thing you know, the black power goes from how you doing, how low, you know what I'm saying? So we got
right.
to, you know, make sure that, you know, we put strong women in place, because I don't think that a mother is going to compromise her child. You know, I don't
exactly.
think a woman, you know, if you mess with a woman's child, I don't care. But I've seen a car fall on a baby and a woman pick that car up and move that car up off her child. You know, so we need somebody like that. We need strong force. We need strong women that's going to protect us and that's going to not fold up under pressure, under white protection. And somebody say, hey, I got a couple of dollars for you. You see what I'm saying? And that's the problem. The problem is that a lot of these brothers, like the sister was talking about, look at me, look at my gold chain, you know, look at my big ass, look at my big house in the Hamptons, look at my beautiful house. All, you know, you look at them, I ain't going to call them names, but all our so-called freedom fighters, they live in mansions now. You know, even some of our brothers, you know, even the Muslim community, you know, they've been sold out.
Preach.
You know,
Black Lives Matter.
I mean,
they live in
to pray five times a day, but they only pray when somebody's looking now. You know, so we
yeah,
need
exactly.
strong women, and we need strong men to get behind those strong women and to push them forward. Because one thing that the enemy won't see is he won't see that iron fist in that velvet glove.
Come on.
You said
and we have to understand that we women are a direct portal from the heavens and the earth. Once every woman understands that, oh, my God, hello. All kind of doors and avenues shall be open. People have to understand it. Like you said, they won't see that iron fist with the velvet glove. Come on.
That's right. And we want to make sure if there's any audience, if we have any questions, because we have some people that might want to call in. We want to touch a little bit about the Dred Scott case. I want to know how much time you have with us today. Ever can?
Who, me? Okay,
yes.
I can address the Dred Scott case, but I do have about 10 or 15 of my members here right now, but I'm going to address the Dred Scott case very briefly. One of the things that I believe in the hearts of my soul is that, you know, the Dred Scott case could have been overturned if the lawyers would have been a little bit more astute. If they would have had a little bit more wisdom and a little bit more intelligence, because according to my investigation, all nine of the justices in the Dred Scott case were all slave owners. Now, if I was to be involved in a crime, if I was a judge and my son, I had to adjudicate over my son, they would tell me to recuse myself because I can't adjudicate if I have any bias or if I have any, you know, nepotism. So, you know what I'm saying?
Conflict
these judges,
interest, right?
They had a lot of biases about letting Dred Scott go free because, you know, that's why he said the word Scott free, that's where it comes from, Dred. They didn't want Dred Scott to go free because they knew that if they ruled on Dred Scott, they'd be ruling against themselves. And one of their slaves run off and then go to a free state and buy his freedom, and then he get captured by the police. That's what the original police was. They were slave catchers. And the police take him in front of the magistrate or the judge. And then, you know, it would be a situation where, you know, they'll lose their slaves as well. So I always say that if anybody ever did a mock court and they wanted to overturn, you know, the case, that would be a good way to bring the case up for appeal, because those judges should have never been able to rule in favor or against Dred Scott in the first place, you know. This is simple, you know. This is very simple. So that's just like, give y'all an example, right? The law say that you got to be found guilty within a reasonable doubt, right? Well, I heard a case, right? And this case was the guy, you know, he had killed somebody allegedly. He allegedly killed somebody. And he had a lawyer. The lawyer was a pretty good lawyer, Perry Mason-type lawyer. So the lawyer, in the midst of the trial, asked the judge, he said, Judge, the person that they claim my client killed is on his way in. He should be in about 20 minutes. Can you give me 20 minutes before the jury give his verdict? And the judge said, sure, I'll give you 20 minutes, you know, because this is absurd. Give him 20 minutes. That's all he wants. In 20 minutes, the person never came and said, sir, it's obvious that there's doubt because If you thought you must have thought that the person was still alive because you gave us 20 minutes to see if the person walked in the building. You know, so it's just, that's what the law is. You know what I'm saying? The law is so gray area. You know what I'm saying? So that person can get out of jail simply because the judge granted that 20 minutes. So this is the type of situation we're dealing with. We're dealing with people who are regular people who are dealing with other people's lives. And even when the judge sentenced me, the judge told me when they sent me to federal penitentiary, he said, "Hey man, you know you're a good guy. It don't seem like I don't want to give you 7 years, sir." He said, "But the reason why I'm giving you 7 years is because my hands is tied. There's nothing I can do about it." He said, because these are sentencing laws. So he said, "I got to follow the guidelines." And the guidelines said that because of my previous records, and some of the things I did in the past, that they had to give me, 7 years. But the judge, if he wanted to give me 3 years, he could have given me 3 years. So this is how I messed up the criminal justice system. And it go all the way back to Dred Scott. It's been messed up from day one, And
exactly.
The jury selection, all that stuff is crap.
And
so
you have attorneys that say that.
I really have to go. I have people waiting on me. And I try to give y'all as much time as I can. Email. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Thank
you
so much.
Love
you guys. Black power.
And a black military to the black society.
Black
power.
A couple of black drops. Two geographical pieces. I wish I could have told about it here. That Biden is on the front line now, pretending to defend the Voters' Rights Act. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and someone can correct me, the same voters' rights that Dr. King was fighting for, and King, Malcolm, Abernathy, and Joe Lowry, all the ones that you know that were civil rights leaders, from Fauntleroy on into Jesse Jackson and Andrew Young, all of them that was on the front line. He eventually became the ambassador of the United Nations. Jews made a decision, removed him. But these geographicals is what you're going to have to look at. They disabled the District of Columbia, has no correction. All of the correction services for the district are being sent out to other states. Congressman, they said it very carefully, the District of Columbia, and they put up a promissory note, in a sense, that they promised to take the vocational trades away, they promised to take the education out of corrections, and they found a sophisticated way to do it, but now they send all of their correction services out in Ohio and Texas and so forth. When you isolate it to Texas, they have a system, a correction system. That in that correction system, you have something called a building attendant, which is basically an inmate that watches most of the activity in that correction facility. To certain buildings, he attends to the building to see to it that things goes a certain way according to the warden. Then you have something inside called a turnkey. This is an inmate with a key that can.
Wow.
And you can't get in or out of that building or out of that institution without this building attendant. This inmate with the key has to turn that key. That's why they call him a turnkey, before he can let you in or out of that institution. The other thing is that they act like they want you to vote. He kept talking about the vote. So what they did is suspended D.C.'s vote altogether by disqualifying the District of Columbia as a state. So keep your eyes peered on District of Columbia, Texas. California has its own set of rules about everything. So with that said, I just wanted you to be aware that they're pretending that they act like they want you to vote. And so Biden will be the superhero to go on the front line.
Oh, wow.
A cracker named Manchin. Manchin has been to West Virginia, the governor, the congressman, and the senator. He's like the
the mailman that runs the general store, and he runs the whole state, basically. You understand? People just got to understand what you're up against. And you'll see that, and they'll pretend he's the cripple vote or the blue-collar vote or any label you want to put on that cracker. And you'll see that he never intended for you to vote anyhow. That's the bottom line. What you must examine is the facts. And the facts are that he never intended for you to get any form of liberation, emancipation, that will always keep the District of Columbia as a slave state or in some status of sub-citizenship, sub-human, always some substandard. There's always some act that will apply to the district that doesn't apply to anybody else. And so they never intended for you to attain freedom. And that's what you must understand from the decision of Trump appointing Jeff Sessions over the justice, which Coretta Scott King spent her last dying breath to stop Jeff Sessions, to get him out of the mainstream of politics concerning the law. Donald Trump put him right back in the middle of the law. So when they asked Dr. King, what is this black power? What is this black nationalism? What is this Black Panther? And he said that the black nationalism, black power, and the Black Panther is a backhand in the face of white supremacy. What Trump delivered was a backhand as far as giving a black eye to justice for black people. They are never going to overturn that system that prevents you from having a full and complete vote. They can put in 10 more black presidents, 20 more black women as vice president. It will never set the record straight. It will always be on the record. In other words, what he's telling you, in Georgia, for instance, you have a laughing law, that you had to have a laughing barrel. I don't think they completely erased South Carolina, North Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi laws have never gotten changed. They did an amendment, but the law itself says that you have found a certain set of circumstances. Laughing in public can get you some time, or it will mock you as a criminal. The other one is the reckless eyeballing you all mentioned earlier. That reckless eyeballing, to look a white man or woman in the eye, say something that you got on your mind, is still a charge in Georgia, that reckless eyeballing. So keep your eyes open, brother and sister. And the only solution, again, we say is black revolution, black power, strong black
power.
Military to back up whatever you call reparations, or voting, reparations, anything else. You better black it up with your own military. Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Black power. So we're going to take a musical break, and we're actually going to play one of the songs. Dutch, who was just speaking, who will be the soon president of Hip Hop Fraternity. We are so grateful to have her on board, and Ken sharing his million-dollar knowledge. Please, if you have not gotten the book, look at The Art of Human Chess and Pimpology, 48 Laws of the Game. These are Ken Ivey's books he literally, all the gems that were dropped today, you can find it in two of these books. So log on to thehiphopfraternity.com, thehiphopfraternity.com, and look under books and look under chapters or look under everything under what the Hip Hop Fraternity has to offer. It literally is an empire in itself, and we are so grateful to hopefully open our Los Angeles chapter by next year, January 2023. To have an academy as well. So music is a serious input, and you've got to have people, leaders in forefront like Ken Ivey to not play any games and just keep it moving. And this is what we ought to do from pimp to professor. You don't play no games. So here is Dutch's song. Then we're going to hit right back and introduce Queen Nay and some questions from beloved Imam Sheikh Akbar.
Black Power Radio. I can talk to X1. Do whatever the fuck I want to do.
Welcome back to Sunday's edition, Sister Speaks on Black Power Radio. And we got our co-host, Queen
Nay. Hey. Hello, hello, hello. How are you? Queen, queen, queen.
All right.
Nice to meet ya.
Yeah, right, Kitty. All right, we're so glad to have you on. And then Queen Janae. Okay, we're overdoing with the blow horns. They're going by itself now. Now, we want to touch bases with Queen Janae in some reporting on what's happening in Washington, D.C., our national chairwoman. Is Queen Janae still online?
Black Power.
Black Power.
Glad to be here. Hi. Been enjoying the show.
All right.
So much information. I had to get a pen and piece of paper and try to write this stuff
down. Yes. Amen.
Got to get it down. I'm telling you, it's literally going back to school.
Yeah, I've been down for a while. I was fighting COVID, and I just, it's terrible. If you haven't had it yet, I pray that you never have had that experience because it took a lot out of me, you know.
Yeah.
But I am recovering. Yeah, I recovered well. I took all home remedies,
exactly,
and natural herbs and things, and I'm coming back around now.
Okay.
And it's now like it had me so foggy, like brain foggy, like you really cannot even do nothing but lay down and just try to get better afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we got a lot of work to do. And I just wanted to give an update on the work that has been done so far with Sierra Leone, Brother Alfred, and the New Black Panther Party chapter overseas in West Africa. I have purchased some boxes to put items in for the children. I don't know if everybody had a chance to see it or not, but he did send us those videos. It is about 80 kids. It looks like he said 50, but like more than that. But
100.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was like. We might need to sit at least 100 boxes. Like we're doing the shoebox blessings. You know, they have a shoebox program that you can buy and buy and ship it to the kids or whatever. But we're gonna do our own Black Panther Party, like an exchange. What we're going to have to do you know what I'm saying? We're going to get items, sometimes some new, some used items, T-shirts. We need underwear. We need little flip-flops. I noticed the kids wear flip-flops over there. But they need clothing. They need clothes. They need shoes. They need little snacks. And they said that the shipping is going to take a month and a half. So we have to account for that as well in whatever we're sending to them. My chief of staff here in D.C., she can ship the item for us from her because she works at the post office. But, you know, it's still very expensive. So if you haven't had the opportunity to give to the Sierra Leone Foundation, I have to reopen the fundraiser because we only got like $80. I took that and bought the boxes with it and stuff. But I got to buy more items or get more items donated to us. I wanted to send the kids toys, not nothing big, but something, a little something they can hold on to, you know, a little army man or a Barbie doll or something handheld, you know, that they could just have for themselves, you know, because it was so many kids out there, I was overwhelmed. I was like, oh, my God,
oh, wow.
You know, how am I going to help all these children? But where there's a will, there's a way, and if everybody cooperates and if you want to join in, you know, want to donate, you send the money to 77 Bakers. Everything goes to 77 Bakers. That support and make sure you put in that cash app, 77 Bakers, for the Sierra Leone Foundation, you know, New Black Panther Party. So we can have money to ship the items back and forth with. That's basically what I have been trying to work on during the time with COVID. You know, trying to get the information and getting quotes back from shipping containers and things like that. So we were going to try to get a big container and fill it up, but that's like $6,000, $7,000. That's too much right now. So I linked up with another lady that has another orphanage in Sierra Leone as well, and she said you could just send bags of items. It's like $30 a bag. You know.
All right.
Yeah. That'll be even better.
That sounds ideal.
So, yeah, that's about it. So we're still continuing the free food program here in D.C. I did want Brother Kawan reached out to me to get involved with starting the free food program in New York City. And everything. So anybody that's a part of the party, no matter where you are, any formation, if you want to start your free food program and you don't know where to start, please send me an email at newblackpanthersdc@gmail.com. I will send you a sample letterhead where you can use. You can take it to a grocery store. You can take it to a food bank or anything. You customize it the way you want it to word it, with your address and information, and they will donate items to you to give to the community. A lot of people are just waiting on you to come and pick this stuff up because they would rather give it away than throw it away, but we don't have that much brain information power to go out there and just get the stuff, you know? And if we get more of that, there will be no lack in our community.
Exactly.
Everybody will be able to have something.
I'm definitely going to tap into that. Most definitely. I'm going to hit you up because last year during the summertime and when the pandemic first broke out, I was starting my own business and stuff. So I was going like downtown LA, downtown Riverside, and him in California, like feeding the homeless, you know, praying over them, you know what I'm saying? Like really you're trying to help the people, like you need a haircut, you're just doing eyelashes, you need to take somewhere to take a shower, you need something to eat, like me and my three sisters. So I'm very, very happy that you extended this offer so that, you know what I mean, I can do this with the Black Panthers, and this would be something that's very good for the community.
Definitely. Black power.
Black power.
Yeah.
Black power.
That's the basic update from Washington, D.C. If there's anything else y'all need, just let me know. The show is going great. You know, I had questions, but I was like, okay, I know you don't have a lot of time, but how would we be able to start a hip hop
chapter, a fraternity chapter?
In D.C. So there's a lot of talented artists here in D.C. It's a lot of musicians in D.C. It's so much freaking talent here in D.C. Yeah.
Absolutely. So what we do, Dutch will actually send you on a contract agreement to open that chapter there as well. And there's a fee for that, just so the seriousness of opening that chapter comes to fruition. But Dutch, I will see if she was able to stay. But Ken Ivy, Imam, has his number as well. And we'll just connect with him directly and let him know, hey, Ken, we want to open a D.C. chapter. You're more than happy to accommodate, because that's the goal of the hip-hop fraternity, is to spread chapters and open one of the largest national educational systems in 2023. So trust and believe, we're going to be grinding real hard this year. And a lot of the musicians, the rappers, celebrities that have been on board, especially working in community service, are the ones that will be the powerhouses, sponsoring our youth and making this happen. So we really do want serious people at the table. We look forward to, many cities. If you're interested in opening a chapter, same way, contact your mom and get you in contact with Ken Ivy. And you can log on to thehiphopfraternity.com, and there's contact information there as well. So you can open your chapter.
All right. That sounds great. I was in radio up here in D.C. for a while, so I got some contacts that I want to make first and see if I can line some things up. I know a lot of hip-hop artists here, because hip-hop is not – it's not mm-hmm. D.C. not known for hip hop. D.C. is known for go-go.
Go-go music.
So,
hip
hop
is
really strong.
Hip hop is more New York, even parts of L.A. But music is music, and we want to merge all of that together. Very important. A lot of our young people, they can only understand the language of music. So if we're not gravitating to something that they can understand, they will continue to be out in the street and just, okay corral, so we can't have that. So if you want to support Janae's food program, she has Cash App, Black Power Hour, $ Black Power Hour. And if you want to become a member, want more information concerning the Panther Party itself, I also have a Cash App. Contact Imam Sheikh Imam Akbar at $77Bakers. That's $77Bakers. Cash App is really the easiest way to join and to pay dues. So if you don't have a Cash App by now, then you are definitely being left behind. So you must have a functioning phone. You must have your Cash App. You must have a functioning email. Just the basics, so you can be a revolutionary soldier for 2022. Without these basic things, it's going to be hard, Black family. That's right.
Black power.
Black power. All right. Power. So if we have opening the phone lines to questions, if Imam, is there anybody that's calling in that wants to ask questions or have a comment before we go into our last segment?
Let's not go into it. At 469, I think that's 894. 469 at 894. You're actually live on Black Power Radio with Dr. Mello Desire. I guess Ken Ivy's left. We have Queen on the West Coast and Queen Janae on the East Coast. Assalamu alaikum, Black Power to 469.
Alaikum assalam. This is... Alaikum assalam, emperors and empresses. This is the youth advocate with the Texas chapter, Cali Rage,
All right. And who art thou? What's your name?
Sasha Unique L. Bay with the Go Inspire Project, the Chocolate Factory, Great Ones Go Inspire Project. But,
all right.
Power.
Black Hollywood with Ansara El Bay and Lyrical Days as well. Dr. Charmaine, excuse me.
All right. But, so can you give us an update on what's happening in Texas?
Okay, so the update is, I've been writing since we've been on the phone, bruh. So I was just going to say music is our common source, so we just basically need to ensure that the messages that we're giving out through the music is positive, we're creating content. That we're creating content to highlight the source, stopping the school-to-jail track system, redirecting the youth from the spot or the hood or being on the block, you know what I'm saying, on the corner, on the pole, whatever it is, but redirecting the youth, putting their focus and trust in self, literally putting your trust in self, being able to use your imagination and learn how to utilize trust law. And trust law, education, credit education, governance over self, basically just rebaptizing the mind, creating outlets that can benefit and educate and allow them to have a place to go for comfort and wisdom, teaching them life lessons, you know what I'm saying, teaching them stuff that they probably wouldn't know going to school.
That's the part.
Keeping them in a more positive and more positive creative spaces where they can have an outlet away from the system of manipulation, introducing them to new experiences that provide them with skills, because due to the social media manipulation, most youth focus on the trends and seek to fit in, and we need to redirect their focus to utilize their mentality to set trends instead that display their honor and heritage, because you know we were stripped of our heritage and our culture and stuff like that. Everybody else got a culture. That's why they got morals and respect and tight knit with they people. You know what I'm saying? And we just as us being a distinct people, we just need to learn more to stick together, you know what I'm saying, and create our structure on a very strong, solid foundation. Because yes, everybody can be their own boss, but know how to contract with other people and create solid foundations and solid structures. Because I could be breeding chickens and you could be selling eggs. Like, I'm just saying, you know what I mean?
Come on now,
right? But with that being said, their mentality needs to shift and focus on self, because it starts with self and understanding your heritage. And once you
come on now,
yourself, how you can better upgrade yourself, because you ain't in competition. You ain't in competition with nobody.
With nobody else. Come
making
on.
Making yourself better. You know what I'm saying? And even as you make progress, you're still always challenging yourself and enabling yourself to get in touch with your roots and making yourself stronger, guiding them to use their talents and personal skills and abilities, putting their imaginations and inspirations into action, giving them a platform to be able to put it into action and get feedback. You know what I'm saying? We can't always just, like, not acknowledge something just because your mentality don't understand something don't mean that somebody else's mentality. Like, you can look at a picture and you three different people could see 10 different things, you know what I'm saying? It just depends on your perspective. Everybody has different perspectives. So teaching the youth about their
roots. Where can they contact you due to time constraint? Where can they contact you? Because you're going to have upcoming trust classes, right, so they can learn all about their heritage, specific time and date?
Yes. I've been up for 2 days, y'all. I've been creating this website. I'm getting it together. But it's called Morocco 72.
Okay.
It's morocco72.godaddysite.com. But you guys can also reach me at greatonesgoinspire@gmail.com, and 469-782-1416. So,
all right, can you give your email and telephone one more time for those who are numerically challenged?
Yes, that's 469-782-1416. All right,
and then please.
And the Gmail is... GoInspire365@gmail.com. The website is going to have a shorter domain soon, so we'll be working on that.
Okay.
But yeah.
So GoInspire365. Do you hear that, Black family? It's very, very simple. GoInspire365 days out of the year.
894-1416. I apologize. My bad.
All right. So we'll get the number later on. Can we, like, be ready on this? Because this is very serious. On what we have to do to get our nationality. 99% of us do not have our nationality papers. 99.5% of us aren't even aware of the nationality papers that are needed. When I tell you this is not a choice, either you're a Roman or you're Moor. There's nothing in between. And they come in different titles. So if you want to be under Roman rule and you're happy with your driver's license and your birth certificate and the stripping of your name and your culture.
No, the first thing is first we need to correct our nationality.
Purple Ocean Audio.
Okay. All right. And the nationality for many of us, if you don't know what that is, then for me, I'm Haitian. And so that will be my nationality, but mixed with everything else. Everyone comes from something. So it's really your due diligence to please know your nationality, know your background, know where you come from. Black is not a nationality, so we cannot keep using that. So everyone, we must know who we are. And once we know who we are, then we know where we're going. All right? Power to the people. All right.
More power to the people, baby.
More power to the people. That's right. So we're going to take a quick musical break, and we will be right back with our final song of the hour. In the meantime, Queen Na, if you would like to share a little bit about your background and what you do for the youth here in California before we go into our next break. Queen Na, are you there? Power to the people. All right.
The mic is open, I'm not sure. Okay. Sure, anybody else? Did you want another caller or another?
Yeah, if we have a caller coming on before we go to our musical break.
Let's go down and get the 301. 301-682, you're live.
Black Power. Black Power. You want a musical break? I'm ready to give him a musical break, too. Can you hear the beat? I don't know if they can hear the beat. All right. Can you hear that beat? All right.
Yeah.
Am I unmuted? All right. Here we go. I just want to say Black Power to the people. And say, I'm just another Machiavellian and with locks on the heart. Rastafarian, more warrior from the start. Black power. Black Panther from birth. Arise up from my people. From the dark side of earth. You know what I mean? Black power. So now I'm fading to black power. I hope the legend of lightning lives on forever, but did we really exist? Did we was just a figment of your imagination? Did we really resist, or we just stuck on the plantation? Did we really throw up the black fist for the black nation? Black power.
Okay,
there's
black
another
power.
Brother
thank
on the
so
rise.
Much.
Oh, hit the horn. Black power.
All right, appreciate it.
Hit the
horn. Thank you, Brother Lightning. All right, so we're going to our musical break, and we'll be right back with our final story of the hour, vaccination.
Bye.
self-awareness. Pride to coat, and yes, I like to wear it. Buttoned up, don't like to let no air in with a pair of gloves that I hope doesn't perish. I discovered though when I get holes in them and I let joy in, I'm in higher spirits. My mistakes are like a screaming parrot, just repeating lyrics. I can barely bear it when I'm lost. Road is narrow, I'm looking down it like a gun's barrel. Aren't we all searching for the serum that could help us breathe and leave our state of peril? All of us have made defensive scarecrows that we scatter around our fields and treat like heroes when they scare away the things that we should cherish. Cause we're too embarrassed to admit the spirits that we're lost. Yeah, but what does it matter? I get to be guided inside of me. The personal care is the patron. You're glad to get messy when the thoughts get rattled. The heart of a savage is pride when I'm looking in shadows. Something don't matter, but I don't want to be overdramatic. But look at the data. It's obvious that humans are fragile. We tend to get mad at the ones that call us out, but the fact is you need someone that'll be honest when we try to handle. I ain't mad, so I'm fit when I became it with rebels. Keep on whipping up the grip and now I'm taking the saddle. Mind saying such a way, I like the home.
H-O-P-S-I-N. He's been a rapper, been a while for a long time, and speaks truth to power. So we're going to go to our next ad, which is this May. Join us. Live. In Los Angeles, May 19th to the 21st. In Leimert Park, we are going to have our 3 Day of Atonement, El Hajj, Malik El Shabazz Day, where we will be giving back to the community. So we want you to come out to be a vendor if you are interested in being a guest speaker, if you're an entrepreneur, or if you have products to sell to our youth. Now is the time for us to bring it together. So you got 4 months, save your ticket, and join us in sunny California, yay. In Leimert Park in Los Angeles, May 19th to the 21st. We're really looking for excellent guest speakers, musicians to inspire our young people. So for 300 young people who will be chosen as leaders nationwide, this is what we're recruiting for. And then on May 22nd,
Sunday will be a private investor dinner, invite only. So you have 6 chances to be part of that investor's pool. Right before May 19th to the 21st, join us in Newark, New Jersey for the 50th anniversary of the National Black Political Convention with Raj Baraka, the Newark, New Jersey mayor. And this convention, we have 2 bills that we'd like to present. One of them is Senate Bill 1857, 1857, that reflects on 1,857 lots of acres of land presented to descendants of slaves. That's one. And the other bill, which be H.R., House Resolution Bill 4759, where we're requesting that, well, I say requesting, demanding, that 4,759 properties as well be given for housing, schools, you name it. These are the 2 bills between the Senate and the House of Representatives to pass in order for reparations to finally be given. We're no longer waiting for discussions. These bills will be presented, and we'd like for you to join. It is power to the people. All right. So now we're into our last hour, and we have one last segment to cover. Very, very important. Hot topic right now is vaccinations. Vaccinations. There are so many people losing their jobs, walking out, quitting. These mandates, now they're saying is a law. All these government propagandas to make you get that jab. And I tell you, you have lawsuits left and right. So we're going to listen to a quick recent lawsuit by the United States Navy, the Navy SEALs. They were not having it. And many departments and groups nationwide are taking this stand by suing the government and demanding that they do not force these mandates, which is a God-given right for us to decide what we want to do with our bodies, right? So let's hear what the United States government has to say for this lawsuit against vaccine mandate.
So with that, let's bring in Michael Berry, General Counsel for First Liberty Institute, which filed the lawsuit on behalf of these service members. He's also an Afghanistan war veteran and a member of the Marine Corps Reserve, who is asking for religious exemption to the vaccine mandate himself. So Michael Berry, thank you, and thank you for your service. It's good to have you here. So the legal battle here is really one versus one of freedom under the Constitution and versus readiness, which the Pentagon says is the reason that they want all members to be vaccinated, right?
That's right, Martha. And, you know, First Liberty Institute just won this really first major victory against the vaccine mandate across the nation. We're really thrilled with the outcome. And just as you said, look, if the military is really concerned about accomplishing the mission and readiness and force and strength, then why are they kicking people out? Why are they kicking out Navy SEALs who should be fighting for our freedoms and fighting to defend this nation instead of fighting for their jobs? That's un-American, and it's unconstitutional, as the court held.
Yeah, you know, I want to play the soundbite from John Kirby, who was representing the other side or speaking on behalf of the other side. Here's what he said.
Religious exemptions for medical, military medical requirements are typically historically very rare.
And this is John Kirby, who's the Pentagon press secretary.
I can't speak to each and every case. Again, I point you to the services. But this has absolutely nothing to do with trampling on the religious liberties of men and women in uniform.
But you argued otherwise, Michael.
That's right. First Liberty Institute argued in court, and the court held that that's exactly what this is. It's trampling all over the constitutional rights of our service members. When the military allows hundreds, possibly thousands of medical exemptions, administrative exemptions, but doesn't grant a single religious exemption, the only word to describe that is, the only way to describe that is just blatant religious hostility. It's unconstitutional. It violates federal law. And again, we're thrilled that the court agreed with us and ruled against the Navy and against the Department of Defense, and we'll see where it goes from here. But Martha, look, people people to need to read this decision. It is a powerful decision. It's available at firstliberty.org. People need to read for themselves. This is a blueprint for how to fight this vaccine mandate the proper way, especially for those who have a religious objection, just like our clients do.
And what was their primary religious objection, if you can sum it up?
Well, I mean, 35 different Navy SEALs, you're going to have 35, you know, individualized. That's the whole point of this, right? Every person has an individual religious belief and has the right to have that religious belief. But many of them, they object to the fact that the vaccine was tested or developed or produced using aborted fetal cells. Others just simply prayed to God. They earnestly prayed to God and said, God, what do you want me to do? And God said, no, right? I do not. It would violate their conscience and their religious convictions to get this vaccine. And under the law, that is absolutely protected in this country.
You know, and I've heard the point brought up about,
let's repeat that one more time, because the government seems to forget that we're protected with our God-given rights.
What do you want me to do? And God said, no, right? I do not. It would violate their conscience and their religious convictions to get this vaccine. And under the law, that is absolutely protected in this country.
You know, and I've heard the point brought up about General George Washington at Valley Forge and how he wanted all of his troops inoculated against smallpox. He did make an exception for people who had already had it, which I thought was interesting. What about that precedent?
Well, you just said it yourself, Dale, that President Washington, General Washington at the time, even understood that there was such a thing as natural immunity. Our Pentagon doesn't seem to get that. They have made no allowances for natural immunity. They've made no allowances for people with sincerely held religious beliefs. And that's what our Constitution and federal law requires. So, and talking about historic precedent, you know, let's talk about Desmond Doss, Medal of Honor recipient, who was threatened with court-martial because of his religious conscience and objection to having to carry a weapon and use a weapon in combat, and our military found a way to allow him to serve with his religious beliefs and his conscience intact, and he went on to receive the Medal of Honor. Our Navy SEALs deserve no less than that. They can continue to serve this country as they have and to defend our freedoms. I mean, they're Navy SEALs, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
They're some of the most elite warriors we have. We need them. We need them fighting for our freedoms, not fighting for their careers.
Right. And we also have us as the original man that has been fighting for freedom for over 400 plus years. But I guess they're not talking about that. So when it comes to vaccine mandates, how do we battle it? And Michael Berry is absolutely correct. As an ordained minister myself, I have a religious, any mom actually has a religious exemption letter that I provide to staff or people who qualify or request one due to their either county, city, state, federal job. They have no rights over your body. No rights over your body. So what the Navy SEALs plus many other groups that are doing is taking matters into their own hands by filing these lawsuits. You have every right, Black family, every right to file for your civil liberties as far as requesting what you want and determining what you want over your own body. Now, I'm going to quickly read an example of a religious exemption letter that we draft, and if you would like to draft the same one, you are free to do so. As again, God has given you rights that no man shall ever overtake. So as an ordained minister, I am writing to affirm that this member sincerely held religious objection to any voluntary or mandatory COVID-19 vaccination. For the purpose of seeking religious exemption, the organization receiving the request may only make a reasonable inquiry into the sincerity of the individual's claim. And those who have a relationship with their God knows for a fact if they have a relationship with their God. That's neither here or there. As a human being, you have every right to be exempt from something that is experimental, and Islam has said it over and over and over again, how he has researched its extensively and calm down with the appropriate measures of how this government has inaccurately forced something that is mandated and illegal to do so. Black family. God has already created the body with mechanisms to detect and ward off disease. Any believer who may have had childhood vaccines or even a recent flu shot that does not contradict the person's desire to decline. This is some question as to the origin of the research used for these vaccines too, and that is a significant and critically important. This is appalling to any believer that they are forced to do anything against their will. I concur and affirm that sincerely that they held the religious beliefs attest that this particular member has lawfully protected rights to seek religious exemption from the activities that are so offensive to their sincerely beliefs, to their sincere beliefs. And then in it, we'll have an official signature by a judge or court, or you can have it notarized, however you want to do it. But once you obtain these letters, and these are specific letters that are to be respected by your city, by your state, by your town, by the federal jurisdiction that you are upheld, that you are held about. So this is a solution that we have for many of our people who are currently facing a loss of their job or at risk of losing their job due to this particular illegal mandate. So hopefully that will help. Any questions concerning how do I go about going around this mandate? You can protest all day, but you have a right to have a religious exemption letter, just like the Navy SEALs took it a step further. So exercise your rights, Black family, because you are your own body's master. Power to the people.
Yeah, power to the people. All power to the people. Let's see. And then one more guy there in New York. I think Shabazz is a cop. Let me see if he's there. Did you want to hear from Shabazz on the issues?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Let's,
okay, 646-973. Shabazz, you're in New York. You're live on Black Power Radio with Dr. Mello Desire right now. Black Power?
That's
hard. Are you there, Brother Shabazz in New York at 646-973?
Black Power.
You're live on Black Power Radio. Black Power?
Black Power.
Black Power.
I'm having a little trouble with my phone signal trying to get it on. Black Power, how the brothers and sisters doing?
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear over here? Yes.
Yes. What was the question?
I
just got in. And
the Big Apple, brothers and the sisters in the Big Apple. And we're talking about the hip hop fraternity and Dr. Khalid Muhammad. We've had a guest, Brother Ken Ivey. We've had a queen from Los Angeles and another queen from Los Angeles, and Queen Janae in Washington, D.C. And now you're live. Right here on Black Power Radio.
Everything's going good. I'd like to give a shout-out to all the Black Panthers in Harlem that's helping us strive, especially Queen Rapani. She's a new recruit.
All right.
I was following Phillip Banks, the cronies of Eric Adams, the new mayor of New York. He got his little cronies with him, Phillip Banks' brother, Phillip Banks' ex-girlfriend, Sheena Wright. All of them is getting deputy mayor spots. So I'm looking at, they're shiesty. Phillip Banks used to be the New York Police Department commissioner. He got caught up in a bribery scam. So I'm watching the politics in here. Now he put his brother Bernard as to oversee his security, someone he can trust. So he's putting all these people around him for security. Not saying that I blame the brother. I'm shunning the brother what he's doing. But his brother was a retired police sergeant. We know Eric Adams was the captain. So I'm watching a protocol, how he's putting people around him. And he has to go to a conflict of interest board to make the final determination about these people he's putting around him. They say in his favoritism. But he's getting a brother with a brother, his brother with his sister. These are all black folks, so I can't, you know, shut them down. And I'm waiting to hear from the public advocate, which is Jamani Williams. He has my number, and I'm waiting for him to call. They said he might be running for governor. So we definitely want to shake hands with these people through him. So we're definitely going to make some moves because he made a lot of promises, and he got all of these people with him. And we know that Phillip Banks was caught up in a scandal and bribery. He was caught up in that. You know, they're going to try to shoot him down anytime a black man or woman get in the office. But we know we should be shaking hands with them in a sense that we could talk to them like there's homeless issues. 50%, last I checked, 50% of the homeless people in New York City are women. So there's a lot of issues that need to be changed, and he got the power to change them. So we definitely going to be making some phone calls, even if I got to set up a meeting and say I would like to volunteer in their offices and get a lot of brothers and sisters to do it as well so we can sit down and have a meeting. So, you know, you have to do something for all New Yorkers. You know what I mean. I don't have to use the word black or Latino. So, but that's our mission. Black power.
Yeah, black power. Though. Well, we didn't shut you guys.
Black power.
Got a couple of minutes if you got more. We'll give you more for the list of black power 304. And we'll give you more.
Speaking
time.
Of hip-hop. Yeah, speaking of hip-hop, Queen Rapani, she's out of Harlem also. She write poetry, so we're going to put some music behind her poetry. And we're going to put a couple of rappers, my nephew, and Prince Shabazz, one of my pupils out of Georgia. He's definitely a rapper, so we're going to be putting this mixtape together on this weather break. So the music is there. I have like three producers, so we're going to start putting that together. So we're definitely going to make a hip-hop revolutionary move. We need some more Public Enemy, Paul Wright's T.C. Cash, we're going to rock him. We need to breed them again, et cetera, et cetera. You know, X-Clan. But we got to put the message in there. So what's the best way to use the vehicles with the youth? So we're definitely going to be shaking hands. We're definitely going to be putting them boots onto the ground and getting the message out.
That's wonderful. We definitely need to hear more queens and soldiers on the street. And if she's a poet, we would love to have her call in and share her poetry. It is artists that really makes our mental health much, much better. The more that we hear original work and music, the more that we're inclined to inspire each other. So we do appreciate you calling in and giving us some updates from New York.
Indeed, black power. Every time, I got to rhyme.
Black power.
Black power.
Power to the people. All right, so this Wednesday, January 12th, we have a special presentation on the legacy of Dr. Khalid Abdul Farrakhan Muhammad and the life that he has left. But more importantly, we're going to look it through the lens of his offspring. So join us on Wednesday, January 12th, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It will be a Facebook Live event. So check out the times and channels in your area. If you want more information concerning this particular event, I want you to call our beloved Imam at 202. Let me get your number right quick. All right.
Black power.
Black power.
I'm back. It's Janae.
Okay. So if you have a question concerning the presentation this Wednesday. Sorry, I just had a brain fart. Give a call, 202-550-8521 for more questions and listings. If you are a relation or if you have any Khalid Muhammad stories or if you work with him or if you knew his work, personally met with him, we love to hear from you. The purpose of preserving the legacy of Khalid Muhammad is to transfer the work that he has done with the youth onto our youth itself. So the Million Youth March in 1998 was probably one of his greatest works, and we want to continue to have our youth in the forefront. They are the ones we're working for. They are the ones that we need to pass the torch. So let's go into a little story here of Khalid Muhammad when his son Farrah Gray, who will learn more in depth of the accomplishments that he has done. So this was one of the, congregation talks that he had. Let's see, what year was this? It probably was 94, 95. It doesn't say, but it seems around that time. And the discipline that he had instilled in his children from jump was really significant. So let's take a listen at one of the conventions that Khalid was having with his son Farrah Gray in tow.
My son, where is he? My son Farrakhan, give him a strong black hand. Many of you have watched him grow up right before your eyes. Very strong young man, very brilliant young man, very conscious and committed, and I just love him, love him, love him. My son, where is he? My son, Farrakhan, give him a strong black hand. Many of you have watched him grow up right before your eyes. Very strong young man, very brilliant young man, very conscious and committed, and I just love him, love him, love him.
Longer clip, but as you can see, Farrakhan Jr., he was disciplined from the time of birth on how to be a revolutionary. And so this is the type of tradition that we must pass down to our young people. And if they are ill-equipped and not disciplined enough to stand at attention as they witnessed, and everyone watched Farrah Gray grow up in the public eye. And so the person that Farrah is today, we were just going to share it Wednesday, but play a little clip here. And then take any questions and last-minute comments, Queen Jemaah, Imam, or any audience they're calling in. We'd love to hear any Khalid Muhammad or Farrah Gray stories. Now, this was an interview, I believe Farrah Gray is 37 right now. I believe this was maybe 2 years ago. Millionaire, real estate investor, very accomplished young man.
That information growing up like him. Three, two, we have the thing called the G moment. So I want to know is, what was the moment in your life where you feel like you was at your lowest? And you was at your worst. You feel like you couldn't get no more worse. But that moment allows you to be successful, and you overcame that hardship. Can you share that moment?
Absolutely. Shout out to everybody. This is the Millionaire Farrah Gray. I want to thank everybody for making me who I am today. 4 million followers strong on Facebook and Instagram. 2 million books around the world. Thank you for the love. My lowest moment was really my mother left my father, Khalid Muhammad, who was a black leader and activist. And she left him, was working 3 jobs at a time, and single mother.
hospital, she had a heart attack, and the doctor said she wasn't going to live. I was 6 years old, and I got up one morning, I said, I've got to help my mother pay the bill, and I'm not going to come home until I do. I thought, and you overcame that hardship. Can you share that moment?
Absolutely. Shout out to everybody. This is the Realionaire Farah Gray. I want to thank everybody for making me who I am today. 4 million followers from Facebook and Instagram, 2 million books around the world. Thank you for love. My lowest moment was really my mother had left my father, Khalid Muhammad, was a black leader and activist. And she left him, was working 3 jobs at a time, and single mother. So she had a heart attack, and the doctor said she wasn't going to live. I was 6 years old, and I got up one morning, I said, I've got to help my mother pay the bill, and I'm not going to come home until I do. I saw oversized rocks in the streets, and I started banging them, and I would knock on people's doors. And I said, would you like to buy this? And they were like, get in the rock that was in front of my door. Now, bookings, door stoppers. I made $50 at 6 years old, and that was my lowest moment when my mother had a heart attack. And it's my God's grace, I haven't had to look back since being America's youngest self-made millionaire at the age of 14, off and so on. She was 13, I already died at 21. Now co-owner of several Marriott and Hilton franchise hotels, car dealers.
Oh, my God.
But more importantly, it's about giving back, because I believe we should all be ashamed to die unless we made a contribution to society. I also want to shout out one of the greatest boxers of our time, my boy right here.
Yeah. Brooklyn, stand up.
I got so little chest real quick.
Kicking your ass. Yeah, let's go.
One of the greatest. Look out for him.
Heavyweight division is getting better right now.
One of the best to ever do it, my brother.
Steve,
top 97.
I just got forced the legendary Al.
All right. So when we talk about honoring someone, we must talk about their whole entire life. Farah Gray, who has grown up in the public eye, who is well respected because of the discipline his father has instilled in him. But why was his mother working 3 jobs? And almost died of a heart attack trying to feed her children? Are we that much in love with the revolution in the public eye that we may forget to love our own family? So when we take an in-depth look of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, he has done a lot in society to really bring the name and the reputation of who we are as black people to really stand up for what is right. But we can't take the light of what we see and disregard the darkness that's behind. So we eventually will have an in-depth interview with Farah Gray himself. That day and time, you will know. But for this week, we want to honor the legacy that Khalid Muhammad had left, because he did do a lot of great work for the youth. He had a very big heart for the young people, especially through music. And that actually reflects in a lot of the rap artists that incorporated Khalid Muhammad in their music. But we must also remember that with great positions come great responsibility. We must always remember to take care of home first before we search in love of the public. Thank God Farah Gray and his siblings had a straight, focused head on his shoulder, and that's why Khalid Muhammad did a great job in instilling discipline in his children from get. But we must be there 100% of the time in order for us to be called a father. So by the words of Farah Gray himself, to have a young boy see his mother work 3 jobs, but to have a father that is beloved by the public and well-deserved. But do you think it's fair that many of our young black men who grow up to either be successful or jailbait, that they have no fathers in the home 100% of the time? This is what we are going to look in depth on, how we can avoid and break this generational curse. So I say this to say that doesn't matter what position you're in, charity begins at home. And although Khalid Muhammad did a great job in the public eye in bringing awareness to Black power, your children should have been your first priority. Everybody is human. And again, we're not shadowing and putting down any of the great work Dr. Khalid Muhammad had put. We should honor him. But more so, we need to honor Farrah Gray. Because Farrah Gray is the youth of today. And at 14 years old, if he didn't get that discipline that his father gave him, I don't think he would have the wherewithal to become a millionaire at 14 years old, to write books and to become an investor at the age of 25. That is something amazing. And so people like him, who actually Ken Ivey, reflects the same spirit, went from pimp to professor, and everything he does is for the empowerment of his people. This is the legacy that I'd like to see, no matter what walk of life you're from. The problem is our young people are too much disordered, disorganized, because they have not been taught in the masses the discipline at least Khalid Muhammad did for his son. He did the best that he could at the time, but I believe that we all can do a little bit better when it comes to us in the Black society. So I look forward to bringing out the biography, and I look forward to hearing those who have walked and worked with Khalid Muhammad, because as I said before, he touched a lot of hearts and minds. So, Imam, is there any callers that may want to chime in concerning their connection with Khalid Muhammad?
I think Janae came back, and maybe a couple more. Let's take a look. Are you still there with us, Comrade Sister Janae?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Were you commenting on something?
I've been to two tributes to Dr. Khalid Muhammad. I didn't know him personally, but when we went back in 2019 and 2019. I went to two of them back to back. Just learning about Dr. Khalid was a I'm sorry, let me turn the background on. Learning about him and his legacy, because I didn't know anything about Dr. Khalid. I knew about the Black Panther Party when I first joined in 2018. I've been in the party since then. I've been the chairwoman for the last 3 years here in D.C., but as I began to learn about Dr. Khalid, I would go to sleep listening to his lectures and just internalizing every word that he said. And it was just so real. He was like the realest last man standing on the planet that made sense. Everything he said, it resonated in my soul and in my spirit. And it gave me that that drive that I needed to just keep pushing and keep fighting, and why it's so important for us, even as a single Black woman, to be a revolutionary. You know, my children are depending on this. The legacy of my family is depending on this. A lot of us are doing this, and we don't even understand why we're doing it. You know, it's because we're compelled, and he had that type of fire and that compassion to compel you to know that you are doing the right thing by pursuing Black power and loving yourself and loving Black people, because we have been robbed. You know, the one thing that touched my heart, and the Imam Akbar always say this when we would have our after our meetings, was we have been robbed of our brotherhood. We've been robbed of our sisterhood. We've been robbed of our motherland and our fatherland. We've been robbed of our language and our culture, our food. We're not even eating the food that we're supposed to be eating. It's just coming through our guts. You understand what I'm saying? When you realize that you are a slave, and you have to admit that I am a slave, I am still trapped behind enemy lines, and I am not free until I declare my freedom, until I refuse to my knowledge of self. Frederick Douglass, come on, Akbar, say your knowledge of self deems that you are unfit to be a goddamn slave. Forgive my language. But you got to know who you are. Like you say, you can pursue nationalism or whatever, but you got to know who you are in yourself. Dr. Collin embodied that. He knew exactly who he was. He had went to Africa and fought it with Idi Amin and other revolutionaries. He had touched the soil of Africa. He came back and he brought that knowledge and that fire and that information to the people. And we got to continue on that legacy. You know what I'm saying? We have got to continue on. We have got to let, I might not agree with everything that Dr. Collins said, but I believe in 98.9% of what he said and how he lived his life and how important he is to the Black Power movement and why that's why they had to get rid of him. A lot of controversy behind his death. We know that to be a fact, then they got rid of him, okay? Because he was a threat to Black society. He was waking up the masses of people. He was organizing. He was putting things together. There has never been a more successful chairman than Dr. Khalid Muhammad in the New Black Panther Party.
Hello.
He gathered millions of people together. You know, and every time we try to get to that point where we gathering together, we building momentum, we strengthening our people, we strengthening the message, something else happens. You know, and you got another fraction, another break off or something like that. But we're going to continue to honor Dr. Collins' legacy. And then, again, this section, we're going to give to our brothers and sisters in Sierra Leone in memory, in honor of Dr. Khalid Muhammad. We're going to help each other. We're going to build at those lines across the ocean, across the country, and extend our hands to other formations and other people to unite. One formation cannot do this alone. It's going to take all of us, regardless of whatever our difference is, regardless of religion, background, money, region, whatever, we're going to have to unite in order to defeat this common beast and enemy that we have with ourselves. So that's in all honor to Dr. Khalid Muhammad and his legacy. Black power.
Black power. Power to people. Thank you, Chadwell. Appreciate it. We're going to go into one last musical break. This is from one of our local youth council. And hopefully we'll have maybe one or two more comments concerning Khalid Muhammad and his legacy. So this is an original song called Heights featuring Envy Chocolate. Here we go.
I look at your drip. You high as a cloud. You look at your drip. If you could teach bumping your bitch. Talking that stupid, you know if you see, you get a bitch. And rap living a bitch. Don't glorify no picket shit and build on your kids. Believe what your bitch. Receive what your bitch. All you do is make a wish.
All right, that is, that's some real stuff. Okay, so if we could tone down the F bomb, go ahead. That's the language of our youth. So we look forward to original work. So doesn't matter what you sing about, as long as it's not about drugs, as long as it's not about empowering violence, it's not about bitches and hoes, but yay. The language is one thing, but we do want to encourage our young people to create their stuff, whether it's music, whether it's art, whether you're a poet, whether you are a dancer. This is what we're looking for. We want you to have your own platform. Very important. So speaking of poetry, I'm going to do one last poet. And we thank you for joining us this hour.
Thank you.
Prior, you're welcome. All right. So let's listen to Chenega Brown and her poem of Black Power.
Let's call a spade a spade. Let's call a pitchfork. Let's just say we know what a posse looks like, what a mob can do. We know about chasing ghosts. We know about finding ourselves in dark rooms. We know about safety and numbers. Let's admit that the townspeople ain't never been afraid of the giant, that the body has always been bigger than the head, that the power has always been with, of, and for the people. So let's just tell the truth. Let's just be honest. Let's talk back. Let's march to infirmary. Let's outline some points. And let us speak of police who will step over our sleeping children and shoot their fathers and ask why they woke and ask why we have guns. We cannot forget how whales sound escaping from a siren or a boy. Let us call little Bobby's name. Let's call little Bobby's mama. Let's put her on the phone with Wanda Johnson and Sabrina Fulton. Let's talk about how easy it is to choke, how America's gravest mass shooting is durational, collective. Let's say wounded knee and never again. Let's say move on HQ and never again. Let's say it in the same breath as Flint, in the same water as everywhere we have been drowned. Let's say America and mean necessarily the trail we wept to get here, the choppy ocean that fought to kill us. Let's say Los Angeles and Philadelphia and Accra and mean the parts of the world who knew revolution as we did, black and impoverished, and just coming back from a war like always. Say, let's talk about money, as if the first U.S. bailout was stopped in the hull of a slave ship. Oh, but we ain't supposed to talk about that. We ain't supposed to talk about cotton. We ain't supposed to talk about that gin. We ain't supposed to talk about Jim Crow. We supposed to be post. We ain't supposed to ask for what's owed. We're supposed to be thankful to a tyrant. We supposed to kowtow. We supposed to back down. We supposed to not talk about our ache or what we've missed or how we ain't never had a language or a flag or even a proper family reunion. We are never going to know the names of the people who died for us. Live in terror. Let us admit that the idea of Africa is still an offense punishable by death. We are not to dream of going home, not to speak of what has been stolen, not to feed our children, not even to let our hair take flight. We ain't supposed to do anything but die. Not nothing. We supposed to die. We supposed to not even know we supposed to die. We supposed to not speak that we know we're supposed to die. We're supposed to watch our sisters crack chalk on their eyes. We supposed to sit and eat stale crust and look on from the outside. What kind of party is that? Let's start our own. We supposed to sit here and wait till somebody let us? Let us stop waiting on freedom like it's a whooping cough. Stop hoping freedom is going to court us on a Thursday date night. Quit crossing our legs and biting our time and biting our nails. It's our birthright, and they will lie to us and tell us we are violent for wanting peace. Peace is our dowry. We wed to a democracy that keeps taking off its ring. We marry to a decadent system that mocks squalor and honor. We saw what they do to our leaders. We see how they're trying to string us up. There are bodies on the asphalt. There are members in holding. There are lines drawn all around us, and they closing in tight. There's a courthouse. There's a free breakfast. There's Emery's pen. There are Tariqa's fingers, Sonya's poems, and Bobby's plans in kitchen. There are instruments of light and joy. There are folks waiting on orders. There are children in the hallway singing songs about our mothers, these blues people in their black leather. There are teenagers sneaking into our meetings. There are old folks who are both afraid and resentful. They didn't do this first, but some did. Some dusted off their pistols and got right to it, right here on Grover MLK, right here on 10th Street, right here on Fonda McClain in the narrative. Come on, real revolution. Come, real revolution. Come, real fire and fake alibi. Come some Sunday when some brother comes to with a visceral realization that he lost sanity to a country that would have his breath on a plaque, would have his head without thinking and mounted. He's either going to want to get even or get freedom. The whole universe stands to benefit. It's this
black man, it's the truth of the matter is white folks' freedom depends on ours. And we've outgrown a binary that excludes all other comrades. We're talking about all the people, all the people, all the people. Let's take all the power, all the power, all the power, all the people, all the people, all the people, all the power, all the power, all power to the people.
More power to the people. That's right. All right. I believe we hear Department of Finance is our comrade Dez on the line. We have a couple of questions we got to ask you. Nine in particular. Black power?
Black power.
Black power.
Okay. So these are the nine questions that we request our people to answer, because these questions determine how your local jurisdiction is made up. Now, the state of California, we have already went over the local governance of California in the past shows. So if you haven't heard it, just check it out. Gavin Newsom, governor, local councilman, city, Marquise Harris Dawson, Congresswoman Maxine Waters is my local congresswoman, just to name a few. So these questions that we put on the forefront, and our website, thenbpp.com, will be up pretty soon, so you'll be able to get access to these questions. So, Dez, are you ready for the question?
Yes, ma'am, I am ready.
Really okay. Ready. Now, what state do you live in?
Texas.
All right. How is the question number two? How
right,
is
Texas
the political
Republic.
Question number two, how is the political hierarchy in your town structured?
The government of Texas or the political system or the political system of the state operates under the Constitution of Texas. And it consists of the government. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So do you have a city councilman? Do you have a mayor?
Yes. Yes, we do. Their council consists of 12 members. I'm in the District 1 with Chad West. They got Jesse Moreno, District 2, Casey Thomas, the second, District 3, Carolyn King Arnold, one of us, District 4, Jamie Resendez, District 5, Omar Navarro, District 6, Adam Azaldu, my bad if I said that wrong, District 7, Chanel Atkins, another one of us, number District 8, Paula Blackson, District 9, District 9, Adam McGough, District 10, Janie Schwartz, District 11, Carol
Mendelson,
District 12.
Okay.
We got Gay Donald Willis, District 13, and Paul E. Ridley, District 14.
Okay, so you have 14 districts in your area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that includes the mayor. All right, what is the nearest identifiable abandoned lot in your area?
Up the street, it's totally empty. Is a for sale sign there. I recorded the number.
Okay. And when you identify property, always make sure you have the APN number as well available. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, APN
number. All right,
number.
Question number five. How many people in your immediate circle to form a local Freedmen's Bureau or a group of advocates, so to speak?
I can count five.
Five. Okay, that's a good number to start with. Five is better than zero. Black power?
Yes, ma'am. Black power.
Number six, what is the homeless agency in your neighborhood, or who takes care of the homeless in your neighborhood?
Sadly, there isn't one.
And that's so, where we put a...
Yeah, we have to create one. They sleep under bridges and in the backs of the freeways in tents.
Okay. And that's good to know. Okay. So that way you have work to do.
Yeah, I've been looking around to see what's needed.
Okay. Question number seven. What is the public housing authority in your town?
That would be DHA, Dallas Housing Authority.
Okay, perfect. Here in California, we have HACLA, the Housing Authority of the City of Los Angeles, or LACA,
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles County Department of Authority.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, what is the Environmental Quality Act in your state? EQA.
Bear with me. No, everywhere.
All right. While you look for that, here in California, it is the California Environmental Quality Act, also known as CEQA. Every state has an EQA, and these are the people that stop permanent housing or any housing projects being built in your area. So black contractors, construction companies that are African-American owned needs to be aware of that. So when we want to build housing in your area and someone writes a random letter to your local governor saying, no, we don't want this project here, they can sign under the EQA Act in your state, and this is illegal. But if you know this, then you can stop them before they even try something like that. And that's why we want to bring that out. All right, have you found your Texas EQA?
Yeah, ours is called TCEQ, but I don't have my elaborated form of notes that I have wrote about it.
Okay. TECQ, perfect, okay. So that will probably stand for Texas Environmental.
Yeah.
Okay, Quality Act. And the last
It's called Texas Commission of Environmental Quality.
Okay, all right, thank you. And the last question, what is a tax credit application? Now, tax credit application is primarily the vouchers that they give for Section 8. There is a federal entity in your state that has access to these vouchers. The reason why it's important is because if we're going to build affordable housing for our people, they have to have a way to pay for it. And if most of us, most of our families that we know that either on some sort of benefits of some kind, which we're hopefully to disseminate with that, they need to be in a place where they can afford the rent. And that is what a tax credit application is. Here in California, it is the Housing Authority, as I mentioned, the HACLA. The City of Los Angeles that is responsible for those vouchers. Okay, so that is the nine questions that I've been putting out in 3 months, and the reason why this is important for you to answer is because this is the code that we so-called call the white man keeps holding above us. This is the code, these nine questions. If you answer them, it will tell you your local governance. And that's how you move forward with a plan of action, knowing these entities. You don't answer these questions, then honestly, there's not much revolution work I can move forward with. All right? So thank you, Queen Dez, in answering that. And she answered it according to her state of Texas. All right? So, Panthers, let's get on the ball with getting the legislation and policy in tow. So we can actually kill the bureaucracy that's been holding up over our heads. All right, so thanks again for joining us this Sunday on Black Power Radio. And we're going to have one last musical break, and then we hand it off for our beloved Imam Sheik Akbar to finish and close out the show. This is Clouds. Hip hop lives.
Calmly feel myself evolving. Appalling, so much I'm not divulging. Been stalling, I think.
think I hear applauding. They're calling. Mixtapes aren't my thing, but it's been awfully exhausting. Hanging on to songs, this song is daunting, which caused me to have to make a call I thought was ballsy, resulting in what you see today. Proceed indulging, as always, the ones with pony tears. So quit your song game. Sort of vision, got ambition, sort of vision, yeah, that's me. Not artistic, unrealistic, chauvinistic, not those things. So sadistic, so prolific, post-apocalyptic, move swiftly. Unsubmissive, the king of mischief, the golden ticket, rare sight to see. I stay committed, embrace the rigid, I'm playful with it, yeah, basically. You break the mimic, you hate your bitter, no favoritism, that's fine with me. Create the riddles, put trade in civil, unsafe for little, oh yes indeed, it's plain and simple, I'm far from riddle, unbreakable. You find a way, I'm Bruce Willis in a train wreck. I'm like trading your car for a new jack. I'm like having a boss getting upset, cause you asking for less on your paycheck. I'm like doing headstands with a broke neck. I'm like watching. And you can't think it's first that. I'm like, say Bill Gates, pay records, you broke.
Where am I going with this?
Unbelievable. Yeah, yeah, inconceivable. See, myself is fairly reasonable. But at times, I can be stubborn, so if I have to, I will rock the boat. You don't tend to take the easy road. That's just not the way I like to roll. You think from me unfeasible. I'm done already. A hundredfold. It's probable that I might press the envelope. I did so astronomical. Sometimes I find it comical.
Yeah.
Incomparable. Replay value phenomenal. Reselection remarkable. I don't hang around no phonies. I don't really got no trophies. I don't know why God chose me. Got something in the cup, ain't codeine. Change my style, they told me. Now they come around like homies. Man, y'all better back up slowly. Back up slowly? Who are you kidding? How could you doubt me? I've always delivered. Ripping the teeth out of the back of my mom's across. Get them over. Get my initials. Y'all was away. But what can I say? I had to come visit. Check on you guys. You're doing all right. You're yearly spot. Yeah, that's what I figured. They come in their heads up whenever I drop. Shake the whole industry. Put them in shock. Come off the clock like a meteor rock. They land in the yard. Ready or not. Ain't no one like me to dream me to cross. Don't even fuck with it. Give me some props. I'll pick up your body and throw it a shot. Okay, I admit it. That's over the top. Not damn it. Like, every time I step my foot on the ground, I get mistook for a name with no weight to his name. Ground just shook. Let's not beat around the bush. Even my B-side throw him off like how he do it. Some say I'm a great influence. I don't know about that, but I did do the best I could. Hollywood, Hollywood. Hope Nick doesn't go Hollywood. You think that you'll know me good? You think that you'll know me good? Hollywood, Hollywood. Hope Nick doesn't go Hollywood. You think that you'll know me good? You think that you'll know me? I always admit, say I fail, you know I said. Raising the bar, I got it clear. Stop with the charge, I'm setting the pit. Finding my stakes, I'm putting my bed. Shooting the stars, they fall on my head. Sticking my gun, I don't even click. Can push all you want, ain't moving the neck. I'm rarely next, you know I'm relentless. Ain't got a choice, no way to prevent it. She threw her hands and I don't regret it. See what I want, and then I'm gonna get it. Go to my gun, I'm happy I did it. Beat all the odds, I ain't got no limit. Can it be stopped? You see in a distance, I ain't gotta say it. They know I'm ahead, they know.
The revolution will be televised. Thank you, Black family, for joining us. And remember, God loves you, and so do I. Stay great, stay Black, and stay Black.
Black power. I think the last caller that I saw on the board, at least, going to reach out to the west side of Oak County and Oakland, California. We should have Brother Fred at 707-805. You're live on Black Power Radio.
Well, Black Power, we did it again tonight, and we had a good show tonight, and Mrs., you did a good job again tonight, and I'm going to tell you, keep up the good work, and Asper, I got something for you this coming week, and I'll see you tomorrow night on Black Power Radio.
All right,
thank you,
sir. And this wonderful spirit that you bring to Black Power Radio, and all I can say is just, keep doing what you're doing, and that keeps everything rolling on from coast to coast. We're live on Black Power Radio. Thank you, Brother Fred. It's Fred. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power. This is Dr. Fred on the west side. regardless if you listen to us on your smartphone, perhaps your dumb phone, if you have an Android or a Paranoid, or whatever device, whatever means you may plug into Black Power Radio, we'll give you more of what you listen to your radio for. Absolutely the most informative radio talk show on the Internet, bar none. It's just Rush Limbaugh passed. It's not very much competition out in the way of taking a challenge on the radio, but nevertheless, we bring a lot of information that's important to the revolution, and that's the main thing. Rather than trying to be the most informative, let's be the most revolutionary talk show on the Internet. And let's keep it strong and black, and by all means, we're going to keep it revolutionary here at Black Power Radio. We thank you, all of you who have listened to Black Power Radio, who have supported us throughout the years and years and years. We're just out here this, since Dr. Collin, we've done 21, maybe 22 tributes to Dr. Collin, one every year since he passed, and we're hoping that you'll enjoy this one on Wednesday, January the 12th. We'll do a tribute to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, and it'll be from 7 p.m. So you got to go and get all your stuff now. You got to get your Zoom lens ready. You got to get your Facebook, your Crook, your Twitter, and your Glitter, your LinkedIn, LinkedOut. All of those channels keep you pushing some tribute to Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, including Black Power Radio, a special segment, a special episode of Black Power Radio as well. So by whatever means and by all means, we want you to tune in on Wednesday, that's January the 12th, at about 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that puts you in Central Time at 6, and Mountain Time at 5. And if anybody's on that West Coast, is that right, Dr. Miller? We're going to come live at 4 p.m., I hope. We have our numerical mathematics correct. And all of those numerically pure at heart, you always call us at 646-478-4447. Again, all who are numerically pure at heart at 646-478-4447. And for any of those wishing to push some donations, like British Fred and the rest of them on the West Coast, push all cash donations to help to keep Black Power Radio alive. The $77Bakers. Again, it's $77Bakers, 77, capital B, capital A, capital K, capital E, capital R, capital S, B-A-K-E-R-S, as it's $77Bakers. Keeps us on with you. Big, no donations too small. Don't give until it hurts, brother and sister. Give until it helps. Every little bit helps us here at Black Power Radio. We're just right here on your, right here on AM, FM, ZF, Cyrus, Lilas, whatever means you're tuning in. We're on the Internet. Everywhere you look, you're going to see you some Black Power Radio. We'll be popping up in places that you never suspect. We're going to run that political conference on April the 28th, 29, and 30. I believe we're going to be in Newark. Want everybody to get live with no job. Get to the East Coast. Let's see what you made out of, Panthers. Let's see what you made out of Black revolutionaries, Black activists, Black pan-activists, all the social political, all the prison programs, everything concerning Black people should show up at the Black Political Convention. It's your convention, and it's the 50th anniversary. If you took 72 and add 50, you got 22. So we're long overdue for a major political conference. This is it, brothers and sisters. Come to Newark. In the day, you had Kenneth Gibson. You had Coleman Young. All those great Black mayors, Marion Barry. And all those great names, Maynard Jackson, and all those great political figures, man, Barbara George, Shirley Chisholm, all the way down into Fannie Lou Hamer. All those great ones were rolling with us. We hope that you will keep the Black Open Live, to keep it real. Let me see. I mean, Bobby Seale should have been right up in there, if I'm not mistaken. And Bobby Seale, right there live in Newark, New Jersey, on the few instances that almost all the revolutionary civil rights and politicians were on that same page. Let's go out and take this black freedom and take this justice and get some independence. And I mean, the black educators were there. So we're expecting all of them to show up again. The whole entire, what is currently the Congressional Black Caucus, nearly all of the current ones were there. What's my man name? Benny out of Mississippi. Those kind of guys were there. Just kind of shop in your stores, brothers and sisters, and get to Lemire Park in Los Angeles. I mean, you got to be there, be square. This is your test as a revolutionary to make it on Elhaj Malik Shabazz Day in Lemire Park in Los Angeles, we call it Cali, but in Los Angeles, California. You want to be there. And yes, this was not one of my idealism. It's to prove your worth as a black revolutionary, as a nationalist, a person that's crisscrossing the nation. You got to bring the East to the West. You got to bring the West to the East. You got to bring Central and Mountain boys. Come on. You got to get in where you can fit in. Everybody in the Central and Mountain time zone, we just command you to get in where you can fit in. But be there, be square, in Lemire Park, Los Angeles, on the Hajj of Malik Shabazz, May 19, May 20, May 21, and May 22nd. If you don't make the conference, then at least make the special dinner. We got a special dinner on May 22nd. Invited guests only. Is that right, Dr. Mello Desire? We're out there.
That's correct. Invite only.
Don't stumble. Let's get ready to rumble. Look for you all. We love you so much. Keep love and the hope alive. By just praying and working, it's nothing extraordinary. Don't jump the sun, moon, and stars, brothers and sisters. Just put in some regular work. And whatever we said tonight, you always know, our beloved brother, say black power and a strong black military. But whatever we can say, we know our beloved brother Marvin Gaye said it best. Assalamu alaikum and black power, right?
We give. American male skeleton shatters in my head like stale blunts. Greatest tale ever told is a tale you could only live to tell once. Narcissistic and myself lust, and we wonder why Lord don't help us. Swerving on my way to hell drunk. All I'm seeing is a weak leader with some good slaves. That's a strong back with a frail front. Hell Trump. Snipe his ass from 1,000 feet with a nail gun. And his wifey too, I don't know the dame. She don't get the hunch, get a bell rung. The tallest human is the smallest giant. This what happens when you saw the lion. Before the battle, all is calm and silent. Cause a riot, crumbles all the walls in Zion. Western shirt, barrel spinning like the laundry drying. My inner light could charge a large appliance without all the wires. When I met the alchemist, I called him science through the order rhyming. I'm a child predator, not a pedophile. I'm the alien offspring of a predator. Father traveled by walk speed through the nebula. Met mom, made a crossbreed from the sex with her. All these god genes are molecular. He just called me through the cellular. Stories of antiquity, see that pot is a beam of light. That only children born with special psychic powers see at night. But in these modern times, in the doctor's eyes, if you speak of me, you're schizophrenic or have DID. If you know me now, you're the lunatic that imaginary people seek to meet. Pig shell and ACID, so I sold them lysergic dithalamide. I decide with cryptic ketamine. I gave sex advice to David Carradine. And my monster or a moon star. Old spirit in a new body. You're an old nigga in a used car. In the old earth is the new Mars. Girls sinning. Sinning girls get to sing gals at the nude bar. I'm too charged. Trying to buy my mama own planet with a huge jar. Ooh Lord, save me. Do a shroom, then I go to church. Ooh, my baby. Is that a pussy? You're an open purse. Told the nurse, check my throat on first. Why you down there? Make sure that my boner works. I was created to throw the earth. God body, so I know my worth. Wrote a perp, then I broke the wall. Made my Marcus Garvey poster smirk. Took the tablets, I was Moses first. Grow a human from the holy dirt. Boil, boil, win the royal oil. Bring a chicken back to life, I know it works. All I see is birds, Michael Jackson with an open shirt. I had an epileptic seizure before I wrote this verse. They tried to tell me that my melanin mean that my soul is cursed.
Listen.
Bye.
that has a negative vibe. And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have no at all. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our act well. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
One that got away, one we left for dead, yeah, the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey, the only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, pouring drugs to your land, guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, from a tell, bro. Don't he open any letters, hit this with a Comatell, bro. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Sitting around waiting for the shit to change. Your point finger's not at, just whips complain. Thought it didn't fight, just shift the blame. Kids hitting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence see the beat, only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart,
cut my neck until they wouldn't shoot their weapons. See this mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now, whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, planes, whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a sign. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a sign. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, planes, whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a sign. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a sign. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Body kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on the phone with the hate. Chase the Panthers out the state. Whoa, one go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spare propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with him. CIA did everything they could to brotherhoods with heroin. At the same time, that's the way our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then he shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now, whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred. She escaped, you put a bounty on her head. Poison water in the air and the food. We already dead, so what else we got to lose? Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you. No conform to authority, cause under uniforms, human bones that bleed to. No justice, no peace, what the people say. The any goals finna go rise and lead the way. 154 got, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray? I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's gone, now they wanna sign and touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains. The American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
Yeah.
seems to get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone. Someday when your head is much lighter. Brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone. Someday, yeah. Someday, yeah, we'll walk in the rays of our beautiful sun. Someday, we'll get much
man.